You can't shut it down.
Kazaa is the largest peer-to-peer network.
Ultimately, our absolute future.
Sharing every kind of digital file.
Music, movies, software, video games.
And it's all free.
But it's becoming easier and easier to do.
You can't shut it down.
Audio, documents, images, software, video.
And it's all free. Hollywood knows that downloading off the internet is the way millions of consumers want to get their entertainment. High school and college kids, the people most likely to be downloading, sharing every kind of digital file.
Kazaa is the largest peer-to-peer network.
A federal judge has ruled that Rockstar and other file swapping networks are not liable for what their downloaders are doing.
Audio, documents, images, software, and video.
And it's all free. When we went online, nearly 4 million other Kazaa users were there with us, sharing every kind of digital file. And it's all free. Illegal downloading of full-length feature films.
You can't shut it down.
But that's the biggest downloading site.
The pirates of the internet are gaining Kiss Hollywood goodbye.
You can't shut it down.
And while it used to take forever to download a movie, anyone with a high-speed internet connection can now have a full-length film in an hour or two.
Music, movies, software, video games.
Somebody can put a perfect digital copy up on the internet. Perfect digital copy, right? And with the click of a mouse, send out a million copies all over the world in an instant.
Technology always wins.
Show us Kazaa.
Audio, documents, images, software, and video.
And it's all free. And that's a dagger pointed right at the heart of Hollywood. Crisp picture and sound. Download it free from Kazaa a month before its release for video rental or sale. Illegal downloading of full-length feature films. And it's all free. Within seconds, 191 computers sent an answer. We have it.
So we're completely legal, and unfortunately, this is something the entertainment industry refuses to accept.
Kazaa is the largest peer-to-peer network.
Kiss Hollywood goodbye.
All these new movies that I haven't even seen yet, all here.
And it's all free.
A stolen piece of material.
How many movies are being downloaded today, in one day, in the United States?
I think it is probably in the hundreds of thousands, if not millions.
I'll bet on the hackers.
Music, movies, software, video games.
Now the high-tech thieves are coming after Hollywood.
I'll bet on the hackers.
Kiss Hollywood goodbye.
Show us Kazaa.
Sharing every kind of digital file. The people running America's movie studios know that if they don't do something, and fast, they could be in the same boat as the record companies.
It's no secret that online piracy has decimated the music industry as millions of people stopped buying CDs and started stealing their favorite songs by downloading them from the internet.
And it's all free. And they may follow the music industry and begin to sue individuals who download movies. The studios hire hackers to hack people. Hollywood is trying to keep copies of movies from leaking in the first place.
Typically speaking, what we push out is just not the real content.
The studios hire hackers to hack people.
But it doesn't work because what happens is that the community cleanses itself of the spoofs.
Somebody can put a perfect digital copy up on the internet. Perfect digital copy, right? And with the click of a mouse, send out a million copies all over the world in an instant.
You can't shut it down. Technology always wins.
Media Defender, that helps movie studios combat online piracy.
The movie was about to be released. When did the first bootleg copy appear?
2 weeks before, 3 weeks before.
And it's all free. 20th Century Fox, one of the biggest studios in Hollywood. And they're fighting the pirates in other ways, with ads about people whose jobs are at risk because of the piracy.
Where movies make the bulk of their money is on DVD and home videos. 50%.
And it's all free. Crisp picture and sound. Downloaded free from Kazaa a month before its release for video rental or sale. The people running America's movie studios know that if they don't do something, and fast, they could be in the same boat as the record companies. Kiss Hollywood goodbye.
It's like an arms race, isn't it?
That's exactly what it's like. It's like an arms race. They're a little big, you know. They're going to get a step ahead, and we're going to try and get that step back.
Kiss Hollywood goodbye.
Audio, documents, images, software, and video.
Somebody can put a perfect digital copy up on the internet. Perfect digital copy, right? And with the click of a mouse, send out a million copies all over the world in an instant.
Hollywood is trying to keep copies of movies from leaking in the first place.
I'll bet on the hackers.
And it's all free. On the newest computers, you can just burn it onto a DVD and watch it on your big screen TV. And it's all free. The idea of making deals with a bunch of crooks doesn't appeal to Hollywood.
We have to stop piracy because the most effective business model in the world can't compete with free.
Sharing every kind of digital file.
You can't shut it down.
And it's all free. Kiss Hollywood goodbye.
Once in the games, he said he dies playing.
Playing space cowboy in some back room.
Finish the game! No!
Kill him.
You are about to experience.
I can't play these video games.
I want to the games you dies playing.
I can't play these video games.
Games are more entertainment radio.
Okay, this is episode 24, Games and More Entertainment Radio. Gentlemen, why don't you identify yourselves?
This is Ode. Haven't looked at me for a while, have you? But I'm back in action.
Yes, thank God I got a phone that more or less should record decently on the speakerphone, and hopefully we'll be hearing from you more, and I guess you won't be able to stay with us this whole show, but, you know, at least we can get you in here for a little bit. And
Wolf's here,
and I am C4. This is episode 24. And the little intro that you heard, as long as I got up off my lazy ass and was able to actually finish that correctly, those were clips from 60 Minutes, you know, that TV show 60 Minutes. They did a thing called Pirates of the Internet. It's about a little 14 or 15 minutes discussion, I guess. It's more propaganda, if anything, about movie piracy on the Internet. They had some guy from 20th Century Fox or whatever it was on there, and then the chick from 60 Minutes talking. And it's like a propaganda video. Have you been to the theater lately and seen that little video they have in the beginning of all the movies, Ode, where it talks about respectcopyrights.org?
Yep, I've seen it. They have two versions of it. They have the one with the guy with the orange beard, who's the lighting guy, and they have another guy, the stunt guy. I've seen those two versions of it.
See, I've only seen the one with the painter, the set guy. I think they have a lot more than that, though, because I've seen a video with a whole bunch of different people in it. So, I don't know, but I'm pretty upset that when I go to the theater, I've got to sit there and I've got to spend, you know, 5 minutes of my time watching this guy whine, and he doesn't have room to talk anyway. He still gets paid the exact same amount. The money isn't going to them. He's not rich. I guarantee it. He busts his ass more than the producer does, I'm sure.
Yeah. No, it's like you pay to hear this guy whine about it.
Exactly. We've got to put up with that. We've got to put up with 5 minutes of listening to this guy complain and whine about it to try to, you know, convince people that piracy is bad when I don't believe it's as widespread of a problem as they like to think it is. I really do not think it's that bad. Tell me that The Matrix Reloaded didn't just go over huge in the theater.
Oh, it's gigantic.
You know what I mean? I mean, look at Lord of the Rings. Okay, sure, there's going to be people that go out there and pirate it and download it, but I guarantee they're still making hundreds of millions of dollars.
Well, I mean, let's face it, the people that usually steal movies are the people that are going to sit there with BitTorrent up, you know, for 2 days trying to download a movie on something poorly seated. They finally get their hands on it. You know, these are the people that wouldn't be going to the theater anyway.
Exactly. Hey, can you bring it up a notch? You were talking loud while we were testing, but now you're not.
These are the people that aren't going to go there anyway. You know, I use the term kids, but I mean, honestly, a lot of them are probably adults. They're adults that sit there and they collect it almost for the fact of just collecting it. And I say I'm as much guilty of that as anybody else. Not that, you know, we don't condone piracy, you know.
Of course not. We wouldn't do something like
radio,
that.
But let's be a little honest here and say, you know, we love to acquire things, especially digital things that are of value. It helps fulfill us, you know.
Now, one of the things they were talking about in this 60 Minutes thing was that the majority of the people doing this are high school to college kids, which I can agree with. I really don't think it's adults with nothing better to do. I really don't think that's the demographic that has hit that well. I think it's the kids in the school that want to be up on top of the latest movies and whatnot, and they want to, you know, talk about it with their friends and not all can afford it to go out and go get, you know, go to the theater or go out and buy these videos. Now, I personally believe in buying stuff and paying for it if I like it and if I use it. But I do not feel at all guilty if I somehow manage to come into possession of something that I didn't like anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, you have to get previews for movies that really suck, and the previews look good. You end up paying $9 in a theater to watch a movie that's horrible.
Exactly. Like, In fact, I went to the theater a couple of times these last couple of months, and I was pretty much let down every time I went. Even for The Matrix, the only really good movie that blew me away was X-Men 2. And, I mean, I would have paid to go see that 3 or 4 times.
Oh, I agree. Same thing here.
If they would release stuff of that caliber, they wouldn't have this problem. If they flood the market with a bunch of garbage and then whine that people are stealing it? Nobody wants to pay for this crap anyway.
That's right. I wouldn't take anybody that gave me for free.
Yeah, some of this stuff is complete crap. Look at the perfect example is their musical counterparts here, the RIAA. Okay, these jackoffs, they don't give hardly any of the money they get to the artists, okay? And look how rich the artists are still. I mean, some of them look like they're rolling in dough. Did you see last week's, what was that show, South Park?
The one with the metrosexual?
No. That was the one before that.
No, I didn't.
Okay, the new one, you can go out and you can download it already. They kind of poke fun at the artists because, you know, they got Lars from Metallica up there and stuff like that. And basically what happens is the South Park kids, they try to start a band and whatever, but the point is they get on the internet, they ask their father, one of the kids asked their father to borrow $300 or something to go buy some CDs so they could listen to some music and find out what sound they want for their band. They don't get the money. And their friend, I think Kenny, says that you can go download music for free on the internet. So they go to the, you know, computer and they try to download it. And within 5 minutes, the SWAT team busts in. They're arrested by the FBI, and it creates this huge news thing. And they go on strike playing music. So all these other artists like Britney Spears and Lars Ulrich and all these other people show up. These huge big name bands, they show up to join in this boycott, The point of the show is that they're doing it for the money, and they're not doing it for the love of the music anymore. It's really a good episode of South Park. I mean, it had a pretty interesting message. I guess I'm the only one here who saw it. I mean, I think it's worth going to download. But an interesting website. Go check this. It's downhillbattle.org. And these guys, they have a lowdown on every dirty trick the RIAA is up to. You know iTunes, everybody's familiar with the website, you know, where they sold like however many millions of songs or whatever in the first week?
Oh yeah, I've heard it's actually really good.
Okay, yeah, so did I. I heard it was really good too. And then Napster, didn't they reopen Napster a couple of days ago?
It's not like it's the first time it's been reopened. Every time it gets reopened, they have some other plan to make it a profitable, legal, you know, business plan. But I just don't see the RIA ever embracing Napster after the big battle they had with it. I don't think they do it out of spite.
Well, you know, I haven't heard anything about Napster before up until now, other than when it was Napster as we knew it back then. I haven't heard anything between then and now. But I'm pretty sure they just reopened it a couple of days ago, or maybe a week ago now, with the iTunes theory in mind, right, where you can just pay for the song and download it. But according to the downhillbattle.org guys, the artists are getting 11 cents per song. And they're selling the songs for, what, a dollar?
It's not bad at all.
And there's no reproduction cost for the download.
So basically, now listen, okay, you say it's not bad, Wolf?
That's not bad at all.
Now
wait a minute. Wait. Hold on. Wait. Wolf thinks that it's the just over the what 11%, maybe 10% of the money should go to the artist.
Artist.
Hang on one second.
But they're not getting.
How much does iTunes get, or how much does Napster get of that dollar?
See, I'm not so sure. I don't know exactly how much the rest of. I bet if you go to downhillbattle.org and read a lot, you'll see it there. But all I got to, I haven't spent hours crawling through their site. But I did catch where that it said 11 cents of the dollar goes to the musician. Now, what I'm thinking is this, is 11 cents. These are the guys that created the content. They wrote the song. They performed the song. They do everything. Without the artist, there is no song. And they get a tenth of the money for it? How come they don't get, like, 9/10 of the money for it?
Because the artist would be nothing without the people advertising.
Bullshit. I guarantee that if Tool, A Perfect Circle, any of today's big name bands, hell, even fucking Britney Spears, I'm sure, if they were to open it up on their own website, I guarantee it that they would get all those people flock into their website, paying a dollar or two for their song, and most of the money would go to them. You know, some of the money would go to pay for the bandwidth, and they would have to pay some money to Clear Channel to get it spammed all over the radio, but I guarantee that most of that money would go to the artist.
Well, now, but they're not allowed to do that. They signed a contract that embraces their future with.
And
the record industry has dibs on anything they make in the future. It's the same reason Madonna. You know Madonna, she made her own record company. The albums she produces are not published through her own record company. They're published through the record company that originally published her. Because she's bound by a contract, she can't get out of them.
I bet they can get out of them somehow. They could pay them off. They just don't have to sign the contract. They can't have like 27-year contracts with these people. I mean, it's got to be something, you know, like 5 years, I'm sure.
And they tried to get out, and they ended up with a huge court battle on their hands. And the only reason they were even able to get out of the court battle was they had another record label back.
But most of these bands are sellout pieces of shit anyway. You know, we're talking about like Britney Spears and shit.
Oh my gosh, it's so bad.
The money, they don't even
swipe an ATM card through it.
I just don't think the system they have now is any good. I don't know what we need to do. What if we just stop buying CDs?
I don't buy CDs anyway.
Well, I know you don't. But some of us, I mean, I still buy the CDs, you know, I support the guys I listen to, know, like KMFDM and such, you know, I mean, like A Perfect Circle, Lords of Acid. I buy the CDs of the stuff I like to listen to, but occasionally there's something on the radio that maybe I heard on the way to the store or whatever, you know, or somebody mentioned to me, that I don't feel bad if I download it and listen to it once or twice and that's it, you know? Now, I don't feel bad about that, not at all. But what if, maybe I should start keeping track of how many CDs I wanted to buy and didn't buy. You know, like, because every now and again I go into Best Buy, like the other day we were there, and there was two CDs I wanted to get, and I didn't buy them. So I thought, you know what, all this money isn't going to the artists anyway. I'll send them a couple bucks. I'll send the artist a couple bucks. But maybe I should keep track of what I don't buy, what I intend to, but what I don't go get, you know?
This is good.
Yeah, you guys are the worst, too, to talk to, because neither you buy a goddamn thing, so.
Yes, I do. I pay for Sheryl Crow CDs.
You
just
wanted to download.
Get off my nuts.
Anyway, I just wanted to touch on the our friends, the RIAA and the MPAA a little bit. They can kiss my ass. I mean, go check out that downhillbattle.org site, though. It's got some really interesting stuff there. I mean, they even talk about the RIAA's cease and desist letters that they're sending out ahead of just flat out, you know, suing people. And getting subpoenas first thing, they're trying to send out letters and stuff like that. And the reason they're sending these letters out, they're sending letters to the people ahead of time to let them know before, so they don't get the bad publicity of just, you know, suing 261 people like they did before. And I think there was just another 80 people added to that list.
Fuck our.
Now I haven't downloaded music in fuck, I can't even remember how long.
That's like, okay.
But
that's
there's
like,
nothing good out there. They're blaming declining CD sales on the fact that people are pirating shit on the internet. Did they ever stop and think that the crap out there sucks? Most of the music they have out there is complete garbage. And I don't even listen to it, okay? Now, I know there's this huge group of people, you know, all the kids in school or whatever that like to listen to Britney Spears and whatever new pop sensation of the week is out. But it's crap. It's garbage. That's the reason the sales of CDs are declining. People like me, who used to have music on tape, you know, like when we were growing up, we had tapes before we had CDs. We're not so old that we had a bunch of records and 8-tracks and shit, you know, but we had a lot of tapes. Now I've gone ahead and I bought, you know, I haven't seen a tape in like 7 or 8 years, and I've replaced my music collection on CD. Now, they haven't released anything that I want now, so this declining CD sales isn't the... You know, it's because I'm stealing shit. I bought everything I want that's good.
Yeah.
They don't have any good music anymore.
Some people do. I think, I don't know, man. It's just...
They don't want to publish the people that make the good music. You know, they sign up artists just because they think it'll sell. And they think it'll sell because it fits some niche market that they think is a big buyer right now.
They're just hyping shit to make everybody want to go buy it. I mean, you know, look at how many records does Britney Spears have out? Does anybody have any idea?
But she's falling apart now. She's got like her latest album sold like nothing.
Okay, yeah, but still, how many does she have? Like six?
Probably four.
Four?
Probably.
I'm getting between 4 and 8 here, so we'll say 6. I don't know. I really have no fucking clue. So I'm willing to bet she's got 5 or 6. I'm willing to bet.
The first and second were big sellers. The third, like from then on out, it was just downhill. There.
They're still pumping her up, though. I see her all over the place. I hear about her. You know, she's on the radio. I hear about her in the news. She's on the magazine covers. People are still go out and buying it. How the hell do you know how well they're selling? You been keeping tabs on her music?
I don't know, maybe. No, I don't like her.
I don't know, but my point is...
Yeah, that girl took my bed.
My point is that she probably has 5 or 6 albums out in the time... Now, how long do you... In how short of a time? You know, I mean, they're just cranking this bullshit out. How long has it been? I mean, she's only been around for, like, what, 2 years, maybe?
She's, like, fucking 21 years old.
Okay, no, it's been more than 2 years.
It doesn't seem like it's been that long for the amount of CDs that have came out.
It's probably been about an album a year.
Has it been that long?
5 or 6 years.
Jesus Christ. So maybe I'm wrong. It seemed like
she was 17 years old when she was released her first album, and now she's 22 or 23.
Really?
Yeah.
It's time to get laid.
It seems like, it's weird. It feels to me, this must be their marketing breaking into my brain, but it feels to me like they just keep consistently releasing something. Like, every time I turn around, I've got a new album every couple of months. Like, every 3 or 4 months, it feels like she's got something new out. So it felt like a real short time. But what I was going at was, like, what I was trying to get at was how many bands that are good, you know, that actually stood the test of time, but it took them a while to release that amount of albums, you know, because they were, you know, they weren't hyped up and pumped up for quick sales to leech the market for all the money they could get out of them real quick, and then dropped, you know, while they found the new hit of the week. Anyway, I'm fucking done talking about this bullshit. I just don't want to sit here and waste the whole damn show talking about how much I hate the RIAA and the MPAA. Anyway.
This is my take on it. Kids, keep downloading your music, because 260 people that they sued is nothing. That's like saying they took one star out of the sky.
Yeah, I know. They're not going to come get you. There's no way. And with some of the stuff today, I mean, they've got like Peer Guardian. Have you ever seen that? Peer Guardian, it's this application that just runs on your... It's basically like a some comparison to a firewall. It basically just closes off all connections to certain IPs.
Oh, to known RIA port, IP address.
But also other kinds of stuff like that. I noticed the other day, mine cut off an IP address that said known Slovenian hacker.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Fucking weird. I don't... But
someone should just write a program fucking... Black RIA IP address.
They do. That's exactly what this thing does.
Oh.
Right? But the problem is...
You don't download all that garbage music they put on there?
Yeah, and this just cuts... You know, this just will not allow you to see that. You know, so it's a great idea in theory, but my problem comes where it starts blocking... Like, I'll try to go to eBay, and it'll block an ad from eBay, and then the eBay page will bail, and I'll get some kind of error on it, and it's just like, you know, I mean, you don't have to... well, unfortunately, the way it's written, it has to affect... all connections to whatever IP address, but it'll block double-click ads and stuff, which is nice, but it's like, you know what, I don't even really see ads. You know, I have tunnel vision. I go for the data I need, and that's it. I haven't seen a pop-up in forever. I don't need a pop-up blocker. We have Mozilla for that, you know, or Firebird, whatever the hell, you know. Anyway, all right, enough of this. All right, we got to talk about some games, some fun, good stuff. Some
talk about things we enjoy.
Exactly, stuff that doesn't get us all worked up and pissed off. Again, I've got some interesting news about Nintendo.
We got to shave our heads, you know, think about the signs and go pick it and go like burn cross stuff on the RIA or something.
That'd be a great idea.
I put the RIA tattoo on my butt.
Kiss my ass. Let me see. I got some interesting news about Nintendo here. Something that might kind of come as a surprise. It did to me when I read it. Now we all know. Okay, we know the GameCube dropped to $100, right? Now they're going to release a new bundle in the UK. You get the GameCube, you get Mario Kart, and Legend of Zelda, the collector's pack thing, you know, that disc I want so bad. All that is going to be $100. That's going to be in stores on November 14th. I guess we're not getting it here in the States, though. This is just, 100, whatever they use, euros or whatever, pounds or whatever.
How much does it take it to Europe?
How much? Not enough to make it worth it. Not cheap enough to make it worth it. But still, that's a hell of a good deal over there. You know? Yeah, well, there's always that, too, but I'm sure they'll jack the cost up. Shipping will suck. But anyway, 35 days now, right? That thing, it's been $100. It's only been $99 for 35 days. Check this out. The GameCube has quadruples its sales rate, and they have clearly put themselves into the second position in the console market now. They have a total of... Like, oh, crap, I didn't write it down, but they have like 30-something% of the market now. That's a lot more than what they were at. They, Microsoft and Nintendo were tied with like 17 or 18%. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now the GameCube is up to like 30-some-odd percent. That put a huge dent in Sony and Microsoft's profits. I guarantee it.
That's a smart move. You know, dropped that price.
Yeah, that was... I mean, it blew me away when I saw this. I was so happy.
You get money back from people buying games in no time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, there's a lot of good games out for that system, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, it's worth having.
And that's kind of coming out, too.
Yeah, you know, a lot of good stuff is still on the way. We got Mario Kart to look forward to, that Zelda disc. I still, you know, and there's still good games out now.
Twin Snakes
is a big one coming out soon.
Final Fantasy, Crystal Chronicles.
I mean, there's a whole slew of great games coming out, and this thing's $100, while the PS2 and the Xbox are still $180 or $170 or whatever the hell they are now. Microsoft has tried to add in like some 2 months of Xbox Live and Tetris Worlds and some other game, you know, but it's yeah, exactly. It was crap.
Exciting.
Everything they added in was kind of garbage. It was just kind of stupid.
Xbox Live is like, not everybody's got broadband connection, you know.
People
still use 56K and then they can get on.
Yeah, well, that's their problem. I mean, you know, some of those people that have 56K, they probably don't play enough games to care anyway. Now granted, some of them are geographic. Some of it is that they just can't get it. You know, fine. Move out of the sticks and move somewhere where they have some fucking, you know, broadband, okay? You know. Even my sister, she lives in the sticks and she's got satellite.
Nice.
You know what I mean? It's not like it's that. I mean, you know, there's compromise. If you care, you will have it, you know. And it will work great on Xbox Live, I guarantee it. You know, forever how much you use. I mean, there's certain games out there that you're not gonna want to use Xbox Live for because they just plain suck, but like, what did you just get? ESPN Football?
Yeah.
Right? And it's fat, right?
It's awesome.
Okay, now how is it on Xbox? Oh, you haven't played it yet.
No, I canceled my Xbox Live account.
Ah, well see, I'm gonna keep mine going because I like having it, you know, whenever I need it.
No, because the guy told me, you know, they have some good deals.
But you're not gonna end up doing
that. Don't play sports.
Never know.
I do know.
Don't get Xbox Live.
What?
Don't play sports games. Don't get Xbox Live.
Well, now, I can't say that's fair. Look at Mech Assault. That's a pretty fun little game they've got on Xbox.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. I played
it. I tried.
See, I didn't try it online, but shit, just playing single player was fun.
Street Fighter.
And it's $20 now. Okay, now, and here's the one that I really, really think makes Xbox Live sell for me, is Capcom versus SNK 2 EO. I can play people around the world whenever I want to fight somebody. I don't have to, like, you know, recruit somebody to come to my house while they beat their ass. I can get on Xbox Live and get my ass kicked. No, I'm like 50-50 on Xbox Live. I do pretty good. I do alright. 50-50 is not as bad as I thought I would get hammered.
People
so.
Don't cheat, though.
They don't cheat, they're good.
No, they fucking throw you.
Yeah,
like,
they throw all the time, I know, it's fucking bullshit. Anyway, Nintendo, I had some other stuff I think about Nintendo here.
Is that going to, like, something else?
The Zelda disc, that Zelda compilation disc that they're releasing pretty soon, which we all thought was only going to be for sale with a new cube, and everybody was kind of worried about, turns out they are going to sell it separately, and you can get it by registering your Nintendo GameCube system with Nintendo. I guess you send in a proof of purchase or something, and buying two hot holiday titles, they're called, whatever the fuck that is, or, and I love this because I just fucking paid for my subscription, or by subscribing or renewing your subscription to Nintendo Power. So I will be renewing awfully early so I can get this Zelda disc.
Here we go.
So,
it's not bad
you
at
know,
all.
Something to think about, though. For those of you who wanted it, you don't have to freak out and go buy another cube. You can get it another way. Okay? And speaking of Mario Kart, with that pack over in the UK, Wolf and I just watched, like, 30 minutes of video from Mario Kart. And I'll tell you what, man, it looks really cool. I mean, it looks like Mario Kart 64 on steroids. All Mario'd out with all the weird, crazy shit that you would come to expect. It just doesn't look that fast, and it looks a little too...
Come on, Zion, you go to 70 miles an hour, it was terrible.
It looks a little kiddy to me. Well, that was probably 50cc, but we don't know. But anyway, it just didn't play that fast. I mean, who cares if it says it's 14,000 miles an hour or 50 miles an hour? It's a video game, you can't tell.
Well, you can feel it, though.
Yeah, it feels slow. It doesn't feel like 50 miles an hour. It feels slow. It just didn't look like really fast. Now, last week I'd asked, you know, some people, I asked, you know, about F-Zero, and I actually got some feedback that F-Zero is hella fast. It is the game to have for a fast racing game. So I'm really thinking about picking that up soon, because Wave Race is fun and all, I just think there's not enough there to keep it going for me. I mean, for $20 it's a great game, but it's not gonna, you know, it's not, it feels like it doesn't have the replay value the Nintendo 64 version had.
F-Zero is the kind of game you're walking by in TV and you see somebody playing it, and you can't help but stop and stare at it for a while and go, wow.
Yeah, it is pretty impressive. I haven't seen too much about it, so that's why I was asking everybody. I didn't know. Because I was thinking about picking it up. So I like a game like that where I can just kind of reach over, you know, and just sit down and have a just insanely, you know, fun time racing, you know, and just, this is why I think games like Counter-Strike and all them are popular, you know, because in your, you know, you think to yourself, oh, I need just 5 minutes of gameplay real quick, you know, I just need to get in and play one map and I'll be okay and I can get back to work or I can go back to doing whatever I'm doing. But I need to...
later.
You know, yeah, well, that's the problem. Like, look at Warcraft. You know, I always tell myself I'm going to play a quick map of Enfos, and I end up playing for 10 hours.
That's not good.
Yeah, it is. It's a hell of a lot of fun, but I don't get anything else done. That's my problem. Now, something I wanted to mention, since you're here, this worked out perfect, because the other day you brought this up to me about IBM and the Microsoft Xbox 2 chips, right?
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you go ahead and talk about that for a minute?
They're not going to use Intel chips for their next Xbox. They're keeping most of the details secret about what they're going to use. We've already talked about how they're talking about switching off of NVIDIA. Or I imagine Before's already talked to you about that. The story is that I guess IBM cut Microsoft a sweetheart deal. It's going to still be based on PC architecture. Nothing's changing there, but IBM is going to be making the processor for them.
Okay, now check this out. About 30 minutes ago, okay, now I saw the news release that you sent me, and it basically looked final, right?
Yeah.
It looked final. What you sent me looked like they'd signed the papers and it was all good.
Yeah.
I just spoke to my sister, who IM'd me about it real quick, to tell me that she just heard, like this was just a half an hour ago, on CNN that somehow IBM lost the account. Now I went poking around CNN's website and I went to every news site that I could find and I couldn't hear anything. I could not find any news about this. So I don't know if this was like something that just happened in the last hour. I mean, if this is like ultra breaking news or what, or if she heard the story wrong and possibly that, I mean, I don't know. Maybe she heard Intel lost it and thought it said IBM.
No, it could be. That's probably what she heard, that Intel lost.
You know, because I swear to God, the thing I saw the other day said that it was final, that IBM stuff was going to be used in the Xbox 2. You know, what are they trying to make this difficult for themselves to run Xbox One games on Xbox 2? Now they've got a different, you know, chip in there and a different hardware graphics in there. You know what I mean? Like,
they're just trying to keep from losing so much money. NVIDIA figured they had them over a barrel. They weren't cutting them any special deal on the graphics piece of the GPU.
Well, they got into a huge argument over that for a while about the payment for the chips. I think they were sticking it to NVIDIA.
ATI probably stepped in and said, look, we'll do it for half. And
yeah, probably.
Probably said the exact same thing. And, you know, what's Microsoft going to do? They're going to look, hey, we lost, you know, the biggest loss, of, you know, if you look at Microsoft's budget, they lose money in just about every department except their operating system department.
Yeah, they do.
It's office equipment. The corporation, it's just their operating system department is so large it covers everything else. But
they lost $1 billion last year on the Xbox and almost a billion the year before that.
Yeah, it's their biggest hole right now that they're throwing money into. I mean, you know, if they look at that and say, well, here's a way we can make this hole not so deep.
Yeah, it's going to work out, I think, for them, as long as they, you know, I mean, if it costs them less to make it, that's great. They know now that, you know, the biggest and baddest doesn't always do it for them. You know, I mean, I think they've learned their lesson that having the best, I don't care, I'm telling you right now, technologically, I know there's people out there that like to swear up and down their PlayStation, you know, came from God himself, but you know what, it didn't. Okay, that fucking PlayStation, compare any game side by side, and I mean, the Xbox blows it away. And I really do like the graphics are better, everything just, even the control is nice. I love that goddamn box. The problem is that they don't have, I mean, I don't know what it is. There's a lot of games I like on it, but not that many. They don't have shit for role-playing games, and now Fable got pushed back to sometime in 2004, which we had a date before of January something 2004. This sucks. You know, I mean, I'll tell you what, to the truth, I'm all for Microsoft going out and buying whoever. I don't care. I really want to see them go out and buy, like, Square. You know, go out and, you know, I'm glad they got Rare. I'm hoping now that all the good games go to the Xbox because they're going to look better. You know, they'd play better. But that doesn't always prove true. Look what happened with that new Rare game. Have you seen that yet? for the Xbox? Ghouls or whatever the fuck that stupid game is called?
Oh, so retarded.
It's kind of stupid, yeah. I can't remember what it's called, though. It's called, shit, I could have sworn I printed out a whole list of what it was called.
What's that
name? Of the games they've made. Here it is. It's called, Grabbed by the Ghoulies. Now, a lot of the websites that did reviews on it kind of, they gave it, like, better than average. They gave it, like, a 7. Which should be just fine. But, you know, I mean, this day and age, people, gamers get a bad rap for only playing the 9 and 10s, you know, because the 7, 5 isn't average anymore. You know, like, 7, 8 is supposed to be, like, an average game. But look at all the crap that comes out. The scale has kind of shifted itself because of all the garbage that comes out that gets decently high scores. So we have to go with the 9 and 10 games because those are the ones that, you know, are nearly flawless. Those are the games that probably should be 8s. But of course, this day and age, they're getting 9s and 10 scores. The rating system you see, I mean, every website is going to give a different rating to every game. I mean, you know, there's no absolute final answer because everybody's tastes are different. The problem is that you get 27 magazines and 5,000 websites saying that a game is, you know, a 7.5, and it's not good enough these days. You know, I mean, I remember a time where I would have killed to get my hands on a 7.5, you know? And I would have liked it. But now, look at all, we have way too many games out now. I mean, we really do. The market has got 3 consoles out that are all pretty good. Now, in my opinion, they all kind of suck. But whatever, they're all like the same. I mean, there's just, you know, like, sure the PlayStation's got more games, but the hardware sucks, so if you're a graphics nut, you're better off going with an Xbox, then you got less games to play. You know what I mean? It's just like, you can go round and round on what's good, but you know what it comes down to? And this is why Wolf and I have every console. It's about the fucking games. Go get the games that you want to play and the good games out there, and who cares what hardware it's on? It's pretty cheap. It's really pretty cheap. How much does a PlayStation these days cost? $170. You know, an Xbox is $170, and a GameCube is 100 bones. Okay? That's less than the cost of a new processor and a new video card, you know, or a motherboard and a processor even. It's not that bad. And this is going to enable you to play all the fattest games. I don't know where the hell that came from. What was I talking about? Rare. Oh, here it is. I got it right in front of me. These guys, yeah, Grabbed by the Ghoulies. Now, I tried playing it. I tried playing the demo, and it just sucked. You're like this guy who's in this weird mansion, and you're
looking at Picasso.
Yeah, it looks kind of like that cel-shaded weird look to it, you know, and it's got, like, these weird skeletons that do, that they try to be funny in the game, I think, and the control really blows. You attack with rustling moves. You're like this teenage kid who, for whatever reason, is in this weird haunted mansion. And you know what? I didn't give it a fair shot. I didn't play it for more than, you know, maybe 10 minutes, but it wasn't my kind of game. I could tell right away it wasn't something I was going to enjoy, but I bet there is a market out there for this. And I was thinking about Rare for a minute. They are, hands down, I think, one of the best game companies out there. Okay, now, what do you guys know that Rare has released? What comes to mind?
I hear cricket.
Me too. You guys are fucking useless, okay? You guys remember Conker? On the Nintendo 64, the little squirrel that drank beer and pissed all over everybody? You guys remember Conker? They're making a new one for the Xbox called Live and Uncut. It might even be a remake, I'm not sure. They're making a game called Cameo, Elements of Power for the Xbox. But look what they've brought us in the past. I had this list going of games that just blew my mind. Killer Instinct Gold on Nintendo 64? That was one of the best fighting games I've ever played. A game for the Nintendo called Cobra Triangle? I mean, Rare is known for making some of the most original stuff turn out to be the fattest games ever. If you've never played Cobra Triangle, have you ever played, like, a boat combat game other than, like, Bloody Wake or whatever that one was? Blood Wake for the Xbox? Go play this game. This game was just, I mean, it was genius. RC Pro-Am. Yeah, I'm getting blank stares from both of you here. RC Pro-Am. You guys never played that shit?
I've played any of these. I played Killer Instinct.
Killer Instinct, yeah, that was a good game. Wizards and Warriors on the Nintendo. Does anybody remember that? Marble Madness?
I
never owned on Nintendo.
It doesn't matter. I know you've got every ROM.
Right, it was worth $350 million.
Is that how much they paid for them?
Yeah.
Or for 51%?
They said, like, all I heard was they bought Rare for $350 million.
Jesus Christ. Well, you know what? They deserve more.
I hope they got more than 51% for $350 million.
I don't know, man. But the Perfect Dark, Donkey Kong Country, that Banjo-Tooie, Off-Road. Solar Jetman? Come on, Solar Jetman, that game is the fucking bomb. I was playing that the other day on Nintendo.
How many recent titles, though?
I didn't write down most of the recent ones because they're all, I didn't play most of them. That's why I wrote down the ones that I knew that were fat. But, I mean, what comes to mind, like, Killer Instinct is fairly recent. Conker was fairly recent. Donkey Kong Country, the new Donkey Kong
was. Donkey Kong Country was Super Nintendo.
No, they just did one for the, didn't they just make one for the Nintendo 64 Donkey Kong something? Didn't they just make one? I swear to God, I thought they just made one. Maybe I'm thinking of something else.
What year is it?
2003. Yeah, sometimes I get a little lost in nostalgia there, I know. But dude, they make some of the most incredible fucking games. So, I mean, this game there might be something more to it. I think people just aren't giving it a chance because they want to play these mainstream games. They want to play the next first-person shooter. They want to play the next StarCraft or WarCraft. You know, they gotta get their hands on the same thing, but new and improved, right? I think some of their games are overlooked. I mean, you guys have never even heard of this list, and I'm telling you right now, these are all amazing fucking games. I mean, Solar Jetman, to this day, I'd love to see a remake. I'd love to see a remake of Cobra Triangle. Where's a new Killer Instinct, you know?
I'll tell you right now, if anyone's going to put money behind a game, it's going to be Microsoft.
Yeah, they'll put all the money in the world behind it, but it doesn't mean it's going to be any good.
I mean, money behind advertising. They're going to get it
now. Oh. Yeah, well, advertising doesn't always sell it, though. I mean, because what happens is you ignore the advertisements, and you go off of some review on what did Shinra say the other day? Shitbag sellout IGN's website, you know? Based on their fucking reviews and their scores. I mean, sometimes they do pretty good, but it's probably based on individuals, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes I agree with what they voted, with what they rated it. Most of the time I don't. Anyway, something to think about is Rare's new game. Are we getting close to where you gotta bail?
I'll tell you, I can stay for a while longer.
Okay, then I want to bring up one more thing before you get into Savage and Final Fantasy XI. I want to bring up Sega Ages, because I know you like to slam me for playing old games. So I'm going to bring up Sega Ages. Now, this was Golden Axe, Monaco GP, Phantasy Star, Space Harrier, and Phantasy Zone.
I'm going to get ready to start slamming you.
That's right. Just talk a little louder for us.
All
right. They're $25 to $30 U.S., but they're Japan only, okay? So we're not going to get them here. We're going to have to fucking import these if we want them, which means we're going to have to get a PlayStation 2 to play as import games. So
they're Japanese.
Yeah, so this... Yeah. Well, no, dude, for fucking Space Harrier and Golden Axe and Fantasy Zone...
You just shoot things.
I mean, okay, now these are games that we had on the Sega Master System. This was 8-bit days. I played Phantasy Star, the original one. I played fucking... Space Harrier, like every day. I played Golden Axe, and Wolf, you had
Golden
it on the Genesis.
Was for a Genesis.
No, it was on the other thing too, but you had it on the Genesis,
oh, yeah,
right? I mean, Golden Axe is old. The arcade game takes like 20 minutes to beat, you know what I mean? Point is that these are old games remade for today. Now, finally, I've seen something about them. 1UP.com has done a review on all of them. And they slammed the shit out of Golden Axe. For some reason, they really, really did not like it. They gave it a 2 out of 10. They said there was just too much dumb stuff with it. It was just horrible. But the rest of them, they gave a pretty average score. Between 6 and 7, it looked like, they gave to all the other games on there. Now, I remember Space Harrier and Phantasy Zone and Final Fantasy, or Phantasy Star, very, very well. I remember those very well because I owned them and I played the shit out of them, and they were fun, simple games. Now, by today's, now imagine giving them a makeover, maybe a 32-bit makeover. Okay, I don't think they're quite, you know, up to today's mega standards, but the games aren't selling for, you know, an ass load of money either. They're selling for 25 to 30 bucks. So they gave them a 6 and a 7. It sounds like most of them did okay. But I really think this is something that's going to appeal to the old school crowd more, because the new guys aren't going to like this. I mean, the young gaming crowd, the young casual gaming crowd, though, I mean, there's some hardcore ones out there that really want to know the roots, and they want to experience, you know, all these old classics and stuff. But most of the casual gamers today, they can't stand it, and they think we're all insane. They oh, you guys just have your head up your ass thinking these games are good. Okay, this is where you step in. Go right ahead and keep it loud, please.
I'll leave it at this. Yeah, I could totally rip you up for that, but...
Go ahead.
The way it works is this, right? The reason you like these old games is not because they were that good. And a lot of them weren't.
No, it's because they're fun.
They put a lot... lot into gameplay. I'll give you that. They put a lot of gameplay. They put a lot into the story. They put a lot into all these elements. But you just look at what goes into it. It's like saying the old black and white movies are the best. People watch those because it's nostalgia from their past.
Okay, now here. Now wait a minute, though. Think about this. Now, okay, you said they put a lot in the gameplay. Because why?
Because there was nothing else.
Because they didn't have the graphic technology?
Yeah, but it doesn't mean they don't put gameplay in some games nowadays.
Okay, now look, wait a minute, though. One of the arguments I always hear is that, oh, well, they have better gameplay because it's an old game and they have shitty graphics. So they put all that. Now listen, think about it. What year was this? They didn't have it better. That was as good as they could do. Playing something like Space Harrier that was like, it gave you that 3D feel, it really did. At that time, you know, back whenever, the 1984 or whatever the hell that was, and you're playing this game, I think it was 1985 I played it, that was the technological end-all be-all of games. So they did put just as much time and effort into the graphics. It's not that they have put all this time into gameplay, it's just that these are better games. I'm constantly told by you, which is why I specifically wanted to bring this up with you here, was I just like it because, you know, it reminds me of the past. It's not. It's still, a good game is a good game. It doesn't suddenly suck because something better came out.
Well, because look at our standards nowadays. It's so hard to go back. After you sit there and you play a game like, you know, even something as old as Counter-Strike, which we call it Counter-Strike old because it's, what, 4 years old?
Yeah, get a little louder. I know you can talk louder than that.
Alright, we play Counter-Strike, we say it's old, it's like 4 years old. Yeah, it's a full-on 3D first-person shooter where you run around with a gun, and, I mean, it's got ballistics, it's got explosive effects, particle effects, it's a pretty high technological game.
Yeah.
You go back and play some old 2D game like Pac-Man or something.
Okay, well that's apples and oranges, but what about going back to Doom?
Well, go back to Doom, you'll run into the problem. I mean, okay, look at Doom, it was pretty simplistic. Okay, now Doom was a really bad example, because Doom had shitty gameplay.
Oh man, I thought, yeah, but you played it for how many hours?
Well, dude, it had the best the graphics and effects of anything up to that point.
I thought it was amazing. The gameplay I thought was great. I mean, it was just endless slaughter. How can a game like what's that new one? What's the one that you were telling Serious Sam come out?
Wolfenstein, you had one kind of bullet.
And it sucked.
Yeah, you had three guns.
Wolfenstein was fun, but when Doom came out, it just owned it. Now, when Quake came out, I didn't like it. I still don't like it. I cannot play Quake, because I still think Doom is a better game. It's just more fun.
Well, I didn't thought it was ever much about gameplay. Okay.
We all agree on that. Yeah, we know. I just don't see why suddenly these fun games have to suck. That's the only thing I don't understand, is why do I get young kids on the internet who've never even heard... I have actually, honest to God, played games with kids on the internet that have never heard of Doom.
It blows your mind, doesn't it?
It fucking floors me, though. Okay, now these are the same kids that sit there and they tell me, you know, that Doom was a shitty game. You know, some of the ones that I've played, Final Fantasy VI. It's 16-bit, it's 2D, it's a horrible role-playing game. You guys don't know shit about role-playing games because, you know, it's not 3D. And I'm just shocked. I don't understand why is it that these old games have to have a bad rap now with people. Like, you're one of the things. You always tell me, you know, how can you sit there and play Mario Brothers? I mean, I was playing Mario Brothers 3 the other day. You know, and that's like one of the best adventure, platform games I've ever played. And I was playing, it was still fun the other day.
Okay, you have a stack of games in your closet that you haven't even opened. Shrink wrapped.
Well, some of them suck.
Alright. Some of them aren't shrink wrapped.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, though. No, seriously, I do. There's at least four or five that I still haven't even opened, not to mention the 10 I haven't even hardly gotten into yet.
Not every one of them, because they look like, because you heard, or you thought, or you knew they were a great game, and you wanted to play them eventually.
Yeah, eventually. This is my pile of games to play before I die.
Something new, something unique, something you've never tried before, adventurous, to expose you to new gaming elements, a new hype of gaming bliss, and you're sitting there with the old tried and true, because you feel comfortable with it.
Because they're fun. I've sit here and I tried to play some of these, and they're not fun. You know, I can't tell you how many games, like Zelda, I could not believe how bad Wind Waker was. But I powered through it just because. But then not every game that I buy is going to be great. I try to buy some, you know, good games and games I think I'm going to like. You know, like, I could go out and go buy the next Zelda blindly because I think I might like it. Or I might go out and buy the next Street Fighter game blindly.
It may be because you don't have the patience to figure out a new game.
Now, I thought about that. I thought about that because Wolf and I were talking about the controls earlier. You play these...
Every game you have to sit there and refigure it all out. And usually there's like an hour you just spend frustrated with every brand new game. And with an MMO, it's usually like five times that.
Yeah. Okay, which brings us to an interesting point, though. Why in the fuck can't these games have configurable controls? There is no excuse this day and age.
The game would release a game without configurable controls should be shot with the opposite order.
It just blows my mind how many games I think have been ruined because the controls sucked. You know, and there's no way to configure them. I don't understand that. I mean, it's like, it's a lot of it, like, okay, I may be missing out on some of the biggest titles of this year because I cannot play them because the controls suck. And there is no reason that I should sit there and have to fight with a game to learn the controls. Yeah, I don't want to learn something new that's going to take me 5 hours to get clunky with it. You know, and still, like Zelda, I played for however long it took me to beat it. And even at the end of that game, the controls weren't right. And if I could have just made a few adjustments, they would have been perfect. You know what I'm saying?
Well, people need to standardize this stuff more. I mean, every one of these games, how many unique kind of games really come out? You take any game...
Oh, none. You get the next first-person shooter, The Wick, they roll out, and it's got the exact same controls.
Exactly.
But at least they're configurable.
Oh, yeah. The first-person shooter is such a stuff.
Yeah, they're really, really good about that.
Real-time strategy, perfect example. Why did Age of Mythology have to have different buttons?
Oh, dude, look at Command & Conquer Generals. Play Generals for two or three rounds, and pretty soon you forget how to play Warcraft.
Yeah.
You know, and you cannot control them. You cannot adjust the controls in these stupid games. You know, I mean, this is one of the big problems I have, and this is why I'm missing out on some of the biggest games. It's not that I don't... they gotta suck because they got beautiful graphics or whatever, you know, or fuck, you know, screw these new games. I've got plenty of old games that are awesome. I like playing these new games. I really do. I sat down with this Eternal Darkness. I have not played a game this good in a long time. You know, this is a $15 game, brand new at GameStop.com for $15 at the GameCube game. It's relatively short, you know, I mean, it's probably a 6 to 10 hour game maybe. It seems kind of short anyway. But I'll tell you what, this is the most fun I've had in a long time. I must recommend that one to everybody, I swear to God. But, you know, I am sitting on a fat pile of games to play. My problem is I play stupid shit like fucking Tactical Ops all day or Warcraft 3 all day. You know,
I just add a game completely, you can just sit down and go into the fun part.
Well, what matters is that I'm having fun.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, I keep convincing myself that there's something better just around the corner, and so I go out and I buy a new game, you know. I don't really play all that much. Like, I've got Final Fantasy Tactics Advance sitting here that I was dying to play. I still want to play it, but I've got this monster stack of games in front of it. So I know I have some kind of weird fucking problem, but...
But it's no fun to start playing a game.
You know, it is.
You gotta sit there, you gotta install it, take forever to install it, you gotta patch it, take forever to patch it, find the patch.
Here. Most of these games are console games. I'm not talking about computer games.
Try to get your graphics right, go back to your configuration screen, change your graphics settings 18 times to make it look just right and run just right. And by the time you get done with all that, then you have to actually figure out what you're supposed to do in the game to make it do what it's supposed to do, or you find out you don't even like the game.
Yeah, and you know what? Those are all computer games, because I don't have that problem with console games. Computer games are the problem there. You gotta patch it, you gotta make sure you got the latest drivers. I mean, there's gotta be a better way. You know, I mean, even if it comes down to where it's like bootable games, that wouldn't be such a bad idea.
Why can't they have bootable games?
They can. I'm sure they can.
If you ever have to go to tell you, there's a game developer out there listening. Listen to these words. Don't release games on 4 CDs.
Yeah, that's what we have DVDs for.
Yeah, everyone's got a DVD.
If you don't have one, they're $35 now. You know, for a 16-speed Pioneer, $35.
Yeah.
You know, you cheap asses go out. I mean, almost everybody I know, well, shit, everybody I know has a DVD drive.
I'll bet you left 5 CDs.
I know, it's ridiculous, but... I don't want to spend too long complaining and whining and crying like a baby, but speaking of new, I wanted to talk about Savage, because you brought up configuring and monkeying with games, you know, and I know that you bought Savage, and you have a lot of good to say after I had a lot of bad to say, so why don't you just let us have it?
Oh, Savage. I actually bought it, tried to play it, found out it was unplayable.
Oh, really? Last time I talked to you, you said you were really into it, and you were playing
when I first started playing it, because the graphics were just... I was getting like 2 frames a second. Then I passed it, and there was a setting added into their settings menu, which was like, do optimized graphics, or actually run the game at reasonable frame rate, and you check that box, and it runs great. So,
Now, I'll tell you right now, let me cut you off. I downloaded the demo, and that box was checked automatically, and the game had kind of like a translucent feel. It felt like I could see through stuff. Shit was kind of foggy looking. And I turned that off, and if I turned down all the rest of the options, and I shouldn't have to turn down options in any fucking game with this computer, and if the game ran better and looked better. Well, it didn't really run a whole lot better, but it looked a lot better with everything turned down. It was really fucking weird. It's like they've got their settings backwards or something.
Yeah, the settings are weird. I played around for a little. I managed, like I said, played around through, changed about 18 times. It finally made it look pretty great and made it run really good, so I was happy with it. And I started getting the hang of playing the game. I have to say, it's a great idea.
It is. It's a fantastic idea. Yeah,
they put together a really unique game by having a commander that actually tells people what to do, and you actually start doing what the commander tells you to do just because. If you don't, it's probably bad for your team, and your team's probably going to get, anally raped at the end.
It puts a weird feeling on you when you see yourself highlighted, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. You see like a green circle under you.
Yeah, that freaked me out, man. I thought, oh, my God, I feel like I'm a
character.
No, I felt like I was a character in a video game.
Yeah, you're a unit in Warcraft 3.
Yeah, it was unreal. It was a really strange, unusual feeling. It blew me away.
It's pretty simplistic. The thing is, they didn't really put together a very complete first-person shooter environment or real-time strategy environment.
But yeah, you're right.
But they did that for a reason, because they wanted to have very fast skirmishing rounds that last. Games typically last anywhere from 10 minutes if it's a dead rush to about 35 or 40 minutes. If you end up having to win by attrition, where you end up just keep going garrisons closer and closer to take over the enemy.
Yeah.
Playing as a commander is very thankless at first, because you're going to suck at first and everyone's going to get on your case about it. But just, if you decide you want to try out being a commander, just have the toughest game to do that you can, listen to what people say, and try to help everybody out. And even if you're doing a great job, they'll still criticize you. And usually because one of them wants to be a commander instead of you.
Yep. Definitely. Now, I saw that they released a new demo, a demo 2, they called it. I hope they removed the suck. Has there been a new patch or anything?
I haven't played it in the last, I haven't played it for about 2 weeks now. But I was playing it religiously up to that point. And I have to say, it's the kind of game that is perfect if you just want to sit down, chill, and have a quick couple of games. Like, it doesn't take any setup. You can quit and join any time, any game. You can jump in and run around and game some levels.
But see,
a little bit of an MMO element where you just run around, creep, and kill things and get levels.
Okay, but that's fucking stupid, man. When I played, it was like everybody runs straight for a camp, and it's like I got to camp some mobs in a first-person shooter while there was a war going on. I mean,
you're playing on a demo server.
Yeah.
Okay, your demo servers suck. Like, I don't even play on them anymore. Because everyone just, and that's all everyone does, everyone just tries to level up. They're all level 10, but their base is gone.
Well, I don't know. It just seemed like it was kind of weird to me that everybody would sit there and they'd get 10 grand, which seemed to be the money cap. And then it's like, we would all play, but it's like, I'm getting killed with a burly guy in one shot. It seemed like I would die instantly, no matter what, before. And the view, I just couldn't get used to the way it was laid out when I was like, I don't know. Like, something just felt funky about that game when I tried to play. And then I would get stuck inside of people. But I understand that they're supposed to be adding a bunch of new content, I guess, in a new patch, because they're doing a beta sign-up for it right now.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I hope they're going to fucking add a lot of good stuff to this game that I mean, it's a great, great idea. It just
definitely needs more content.
Definitely. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It just seems like it runs out too quick.
I have to say, I thought it was good. I mean, I would not give it like a high score. Like, this was the end all be all game. But I have to say that it was a great idea for a genre, and I think they put together a pretty mediocre game under it.
Yeah, exactly, It was a great idea with a mediocre application. I hope this doesn't discourage other companies from trying out this, though. Because it's a good idea. I would like to see a fat version of that. I mean, imagine, holy crap, imagine if Blizzard got their hands on this.
Oh, geez, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Nobody would ever play any other game again.
It's going to be Warcraft 4,
Yeah, I bet it will be. I bet, they're going to have the option to have individual people down there. I mean, that's going to be insane on Battle.net. You're going to have,
Imagine being an Axeman running around, or a grunt or something.
Yeah, but the whole thing with Warcraft, seeing as how it's primarily real-time strategy, is you have overpowering units too,
Well, you have the exact same thing. If you run in with a Legionnaire and the other guy's got Nomad.
Dude, they still kill me in one hit, or they jump inside of me.
You get like battered up, I mean, playing the Nomad, if you're really good, and later on when you start playing a lot, you'll get to the point where you can take out legionnaries.
Yeah,
especially if they're not very good.
But see, I get smoked anyway because they snipe me with that hunter bow.
Well, you just learn to, you get better at playing it. You learn what to do and what not to do and what's best and what's not.
Well,
and you still get your ass kicked every now and then, but
I couldn't get into it. I got tired of just respawning like every 5 seconds because we were just getting mowed down. I mean, we were seriously. I mean, every I played for hours too, and it's like I just felt like I was like a peon in Warcraft, getting mowed down, regenerated, mowed down, regenerated, mowed down. You know, I mean, it got kind of old, but I really liked the idea.
The way to play it, and a lot of people are going to hate you for this, but if you're looking to just have a good time, the way to play it is to do exactly what those guys did. But there's a few creep camps you can find on the map that kind of like isolated, learn where they are, go to them first thing, get to level like 4.
Uh-huh.
At level 2 you get like, level 2 you get armor, level 3 you get...
Oh, yeah, I remember all that.
Level 4 I think you get the stamina, something like that. As soon as you get the new weapon, that's usually a good time you want to go out. Then go out and start killing people. If you do that quick enough, you'll be level 3 or 4, so I'll be level 1.
Well, maybe I'll give the new demo a try. Maybe I will. I probably won't, but I'm gonna attempt to get around to it. I mean, I have too much stuff to play. As you said, I got shrink-wrapped games through that I've been dying to play.
Learn which weapons work for you. Some weapons you don't like.
The more I think about it, I'm pretty sure that game had its chance with me. The more I think about it. It's just that I got too many games to play that I know are good. Yeah. You know, and I just haven't had a chance to get around to them, so I'm playing other stuff. For the last 3 days, I've been playing Heroes.
There's a game of good gameplay. It's the kind of game you can be so addicted to. It's not a game you can sit down and play for 20 minutes.
Yeah. All right, now, before you split here, you want to talk about something that everybody's interested to hear about, because it's brand new. None of us have talked about it, because we don't know really dick about it. Final Fantasy XI?
Final Fantasy XI. All right, now, I have not been following the Final Fantasy series. Like, I'm one of those people that was always excited, so it's like, yeah, I can't keep track of it. It's like the Rocky movies, you know, there's so many of them, you know? But I'd have to say I went out and bought it because I heard a lot of great things about it.
Wait! You bought it?
Yeah.
Oh, you fuck! You didn't tell me that yesterday. You said that your buddy was playing it.
No, I bought it.
Oh man! Now see, this is what I was afraid of. This is why I jumped your ass yesterday when you messaged me about this, and I started. I don't know if you got it because I'm having problems with my messenger thing, but I got another one I'm gonna switch to here soon. I think. Point is, the reason why I was jumping your shit about it was because we've got other games we know we want that are coming out soon, and the problem is we always play these games separate. The point, I think we could have an incredible time with these MMOs if it's you, me, and Hunter playing. You know, and Wolf will never play, but he's a pansy, so.
Well, I don't have much game playing yet, so you can jump in and we'll be fine. I'll go into that in a second, actually, because I want to tell everyone about that. If you haven't heard already, they have the whole random server idea.
Yeah, I know, I heard about it.
I might want to wait until I get a Game Pass. As soon as I can get 1,000 guild together, I'll buy a Game Pass and I can invite you to my server.
Okay, now check this out though. I thought I heard somewhere that you could go through the steps of creating your character almost up until the final point. You know what I'm saying? I don't know, I haven't played.
It's right before you pick your handle. Right before you pick your handle, I think you hit Escape.
Exactly, that you can go back and it'll show you what server you're supposed to be on though.
The character and recreate
exactly, and it'll pick a new server. That's a little tedious, but you know what? If you want to play with your buddies, that's a free, quick way to do it right off the bat, you know?
To give you an idea, there's about 20 US servers, so that's all you have to cycle.
Oh, okay, that's not bad. Assuming it doesn't pick the same ones over and over a couple times.
It's random, but yeah, who knows what you'll get.
Yeah.
Down the first try, but
still, I guess that's not too bad, I guess.
Character creation screen alone, I think was pretty classy the way they put it all together.
Yeah, it's Wolf and I've seen video of that, actually. It looks really cool.
It's pretty badass. And the opening movie is worth buying the game for. It's that good.
Wow. Well, yeah, Square usually puts out some good movies, seeing as how all their quote-unquote games these days just are movies.
And even in the game, when you have NPCs giving you directions, they'll actually, like, zoom the camera around to where you're supposed to go. And it's a pretty cool thing. The graphics themselves inside the game... I haven't cranked up my settings all the way. They look a little bit grainy, but I would say they're really neat, and the animations are awesome.
You know what? Somewhere I read a fix for that graininess, and I'll have to look it up and email it to you, because I remember reading it yesterday on a forum somewhere.
Okay, well, if you can get that through, that'd be great.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it had to do with the MIP mapping, so go check that out. The MIP mapping on the... Look in your video card settings. You'll see it. But there's some kind of fog table. Some, you'll see it. It's one of your options for your video card. But just so you know, I'm pretty sure that's it. Anyway, how, I mean, is it the same though? What I want to know, what I really want to know, is there a point, or do you just go out and kill shit like in Dark Age and EverQuest and all the rest of these crap games, Ragnarok and?
I'm gonna say this. I don't know yet, but I'd say it looks like there is, because as soon as you jump in the game, the first thing you have is NPC starts telling you about some of the story and tells you a bunch of people you should meet and get other pieces of the story. People you should deliver stuff to, get more pieces of the story, and it's got a, the whole opening movie is about it. About, like, you know, the intro to the story. And so they do have a very rich story built into the game. How integral to the game it is, I don't know yet.
Yeah.
But I'm working on that, and I'll have some more details on that probably by the next show.
Cool.
I'm looking around. The combat system is fast-paced. It's not as slow as Dark Age of Camelot or EverQuest. It's really fast. Like, a battle against a Critter Hero level lasts about 5 to 6 seconds.
Oh, wow.
So then it's over. You heal, you hit a button. And then your guy enters a heal mode where he doesn't gain hit points, but he counts like a certain amount of time, and as soon as that time's over, he gets at full health and full mana, and he's ready to go. It's not very long, but they do that just to make sure you don't heal during battles, because if you get hit or if you move or do anything else, it cancels it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's cool.
So it's just a way to keep downtime low, but not, like, not make it abusive.
Now, does that seem to get longer the higher level you get? Because if it was like 30 seconds for no matter what level, that'd be kind of cool. It would keep it really, really fast paced.
I'll let you know when I get to a higher level.
Yeah.
Well, you'll probably be playing with me by then.
Yeah, it's possible. I may be, but you know.
Animations, you know, they have different, the different races. The little ones, the ones that look like kids.
Yeah. I know who you're talking about.
They sound like cute to see the way they swing their weapons. They like heave the weapon back, like they swing their whole body into it, like, all over as they swing like their stick or whatever.
Yeah.
It's hilarious to watch him try to attack something.
Nice. And what are the classes? Aren't the classes like original Final Fantasy classes, like the Black Mage, the White Mage, Red Mage?
If you've ever played Final Fantasy Tactics or any of those games, it's the exact same classes. The way it works is you pick an initial class. By the way, you only have one character per content ID. And you pay per month for content ID. So you only have one character. But the character can change his job. He changes his job at any time. Once you change it, you don't lose what you had before because it keeps the same level at your job, but you don't have those old abilities. They all get shelved away. You're basically the new class starting again at level one.
Huh.
But, so you decide you don't want to, like, you create a red mage to begin with. You don't want to be a red mage. You can change to be a monk later.
Uh-huh.
At a certain level, I think it's level 8, you can pick a subclass. So you can be a monk that knows black magic.
Oh, wow.
And it can be any other class. It can be a knight that knows white magic, or it can be a knight that knows black magic, or it can be a knight that knows monk, too.
Sounds pretty good. Do you have any idea, like any feel for how big the world is yet?
I guess that the expansion pack comes with the English, US version of the game.
Yeah, I thought I remember hearing about that, but I didn't get any details, so I just kind of thought I read it wrong.
I have no idea how big it is yet, but I imagine it's pretty big. I'll go into that in a second. I want to finish this part. But,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
So the class system, and then there's an advanced job you pick later, which I'm not exactly sure how this works. I don't know if it replaces your base class, or if you get a third class that you get to take on. And they added two of those. They added three. The Samurai, the Dragoon, and the Ninja. They added with the expansion pack, but they have a few others. They have paladins, dark knights, summoners, beast masters, things like that. And those are advanced jobs. You pick them, I think, level 18. But you have to complete some quests to get them. You don't just go and train for them. You have to complete some quests, and then you get to become whatever. And those are some things you can do. You can look up all the spells and stuff on there. There's Warcry has a site. I think it's either ffo.warcry or ffxi.warcry.com. And Stratix has one too. I guess I'll get them mixed up. One ffo.stratix. Or FFXI.Stratix. It's one of those. Anyway, as far as traveling around goes, you know how, like, EverQuest, Dark Age of Camelot, they're always asking for Spirit of the Wolves, you're trying to run around.
Yeah.
Well, none of the classes have speed spells. But, you can rent what's called a Jacobo.
Yeah, those little yellow birds.
And you can use drive them.
Well, they're not very little, but yeah.
But you can control them. And as soon as you dismount, they run off.
Oh, that's cool, though. At least you can control them.
Yeah, and other people can ride with you, too. You can also hire air vessels, and you can get from one side of the map, one side of the world to the other in less than 3 minutes. They have a lot of different options for you to get around the map. Most of them are intended for slightly higher level people, so until you get to, like, level 10, it's not going to be feasible to afford them. But you won't care, because everything you want is pretty close anyway until then.
Hmm. Can you buy healing potions?
I don't know.
It just seemed to me that all these games seem to lack healing potions.
You don't need it. You need cure.
I would
pure tune.
They move into the whole crafting system, and they do have a very rich, complicated crafting system. What's still with me on the game, though? I was looking at, there's some online comic sites like Greg Dean's Real Life Comics. He was playing the imported version, right?
Uh-huh.
And he was waiting there in line when the store opened to buy a US.
Jesus.
And just the fact that somebody, you know, people played it before, people were playing the beta, and they were jumping in to buy it. All these, I heard nothing but people say, look, I can't wait to play it. When Shadowbane had their release, everyone was saying the opposite. They were saying, I'm not going to buy it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there was a handful of people that said, well, I'll buy it anyway. You know?
They're giving out a 10-day free trial now for Shadowbane.
Yeah, Shadowbane's good.
Wow.
Shadowbane.
I don't know. I haven't been too impressed with any of them. The only reason I'm playing EverQuest is because it's cheap and huge.
Well, I have to say that one thing I really appreciate about the whole Final Fantasy thing is, and you'll see it too, when you fire up the game, you'll realize something. You'll think to yourself, wow, come to think of it, no real company has ever made a massively multiplayer game. And none of them have ever seen professional. They always seem like garage shop jobs.
Yeah, they do. I mean, even EverQuest, the longest running one, it feels very fucking ghetto.
Feels like a garage shop. You know, it seems like the interface, the way it fires up and everything, it looks like something you would download for free.
It still doesn't even work right on Windows XP.
Yeah.
It's like Counter-Strike.
It's like the opposite when you fire up Final Fantasy XI. Everything is just really classy the way they put it all together.
Yeah, well, Square is pretty showy. We know that.
I don't know. Just wondering, does a Final Fantasy XI have original music from a Final Fantasy?
How the hell would he know?
Oh, you never played before?
Fuck no.
Does it? What do you mind if you just grab it? As your home rate. So, because if you do that, you get a ring that gives you like a little extra advantage and makes you up level 10 a little faster.
Huh. Well, it sounds interesting. You're going to have to let us know how it goes. I'm going to see if I can't maybe move my phone around or something next time I'm able to call you, just so I think, because I can't hear you that well, because I think that the fans in my computer are too loud, and my phone and the microphone happens to be right next to it.
Well, you got to stop your computer from hovering, you know.
I know, but I like how it just kind of like floats around, you know.
The fan's down a bit, you know, it doesn't float 3 feet off the ground.
I know, maybe I should unplug some of that crap in there. At least for the purpose of the show, or maybe move it to the other side of the room or something. I don't know.
It's like freezing out cold outside. Just run a vent from outside.
It's a good idea, but it gets hard to hear you when you get quiet, but I know on your end that you're talking in a normal tone of voice. This phone is probably the loudest phone I could find, you know, for the speakerphone, and it's still not loud enough, I don't think. But maybe we'll play around with it. Maybe I can figure something out with the microphone or something. I tried to get software that would record through the modem, but it cuts out our end of the conversation. Like, you can talk into the phone all you want, and the computer will record it, but not only can we not hear it, we can't say anything. So that's no good.
Well, that doesn't work.
Yeah, that's not going to work, so. Well, awesome. I'm so glad that you were able to do this today with us.
Oh, no problem.
Thank you, and hopefully, you know, we'll be hearing more from you in the future.
Yeah, I'll see if I can get a World Pass so you guys can join me.
You guys nothing. Wolf will never play, and I probably won't either. I mean,
I'll spend 1,000 gil on armor.
If you tell me it's the fattest game you've ever played, I might play it, but I know Wolf here was too cheap to pay for it, so.
Nope. No, I'm not paying for
it. $50 is the most expensive MMO I've ever seen. Most of them start out 40. But, it's like over $50.
Is it? Jesus.
Yeah. It comes with the expansion pack, which is something.
Yeah, that's weird.
Well, I guess this has been out in Japan for a while, so.
Oh, I didn't think it was that old. I thought it was maybe like a month.
Well, the nice thing about that is you know that a lot of bugs, a lot of balance issues have already been worked out. And they're going to add PvP support soon. Right now they don't have it in. But it's going to be realm versus realm based, not PK-based. So it'll be similar to what they have in like Dark Age of Camelot. There'll be two realms or three realms. And then the realms will fight against each other.
Oh, that's cool.
Which I think that system works better because, you know, if it's just everyone kills everyone, then, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Huh.
I liked it on the PK server on Dark Age of Camelot, but I'd have to say it did get old at times when you're out there trying to actually adventure and do something interesting and some group invites would like you all out.
Yeah, definitely. Well, right on. Let us know how that is later on, and I'm sure I'll talk to you there this week before we record again.
Sounds good.
All right, dude. Have a good day, huh?
Cool, man.
Later.
Did you say there's a thing called Chocobo?
Yeah, there's those little yellow guys. The big yellow bird. He don't know because he doesn't play Final Fantasy. Anyway, or any of the other ones, I guess. I guess he played Tactics. Anyhow, we went a lot longer than I thought. We're already at an hour and 5 minutes or something.
That's cool.
Yeah, we still had quite a bit of stuff interesting to talk about. Like, well, Well, maybe I'll burn through it real quick. There's a new handheld called the Zodiac. Tapwave, TAPWAVE.com. They've got games from they've got Sega logo on their site, so I guess they're making some games. You're probably going to see a Monkey Ball. They got the Tony Hawk Pro Skater. They got a Spy Hunter game. They got Duke Nukem. The thing's like $300 to $400, though. And I'm curious to how well this thing performs against like a Game Park 32, because that thing will run emulators and stuff. I don't know if anyone wants to drop $300-$400 on a handheld that's not going to be able to do that, but might be legal here in the States. It's called the Zodiac. On top of that, Neverwinter Nights Gold Ship is $40. It's Neverwinter Nights plus the Shadows of Undrentide, the first expansion pack, which really blows because I just got Neverwinter Nights a little while ago. I still don't have the expansion. I still spent that much money on it. And there's a new expansion due out pretty soon, that Underdark one. We were at Best Buy today, and you asked me, is Dot Hack out yet? Remember I told you December?
Oh, yeah.
I just went to their website. Turns out it said December before. Now it says early 2004. So Dot Hack...
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, quarantine's been delayed a little bit.
First three of them came out one after another, you know?
Yeah, within 3 months or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right on my schedule. Now they're...
Well, they might not be that bad. It says early 2004, so maybe you gotta wait another month or two. I mean, you know.
That's a long time.
Well, it is.
I guess I want to get it over with. That's like $200 set game.
You know,
I guess I want to get it over. You know, get that off of my chest so I can feel better.
See, I'm enjoying
it. I don't feel good at all when I pay $200 for that game. I don't think really worth $200.
So then don't buy a new one.
Well, I have to get it now because I played first three.
You don't have to do anything.
Dude, I played first three. Don't tell me I don't have to play the last one.
You don't have to.
Now I have to say the ending, you know. I'm there, dude. I have to say the ending.
You don't have to.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't have to.
Yes, I have to.
Nobody's holding a gun to your head.
No, it doesn't matter, but
yes,
I have to.
No, no, you need to choose your words more carefully. You don't have to. You want to. You don't have to.
It's against my will.
All right, whatever. Okay. Morrowind Gold is out for the Xbox, the Game of the Year edition.
Wow.
I know you don't give a shit, but Morrowind was one of the baddest role-playing games. This one's got content from
the first one got shitload of bucks, isn't it?
I don't know. I played it through. They had patches for it.
Xbox?
So. Oh, the Xbox one? You know, I don't know. I think it had some bugs still. Because I know
from the firmware to a 5.
Yeah, it does that on the computer, dude. It does that on the PC. Easy. It really does. And I didn't think bent over my computer, but it was so fun. But I'm wondering, here's the thing. Has anybody out there who's played Morrowind on the Xbox... Is it hella buggy, like the computer one was for a while, you know, until some of the patches? Or is it really worth buying? I mean, it's $30, and you get Morrowind, and you get the two expansions, and I'm thinking that might be a good one to have just for, you know, those rainy days when, you know, you just want to sit down and play, like, the world's biggest RPG. NBA Jam for the Xbox is out.
So, we saw it today. Yeah. I almost picked it up.
Almost.
So I got huge backlog, you know, finish up first.
Huge backlog.
Yeah, I got about 10, 12 games.
No way.
Yeah.
They had, like... Three. I thought you were on top of that.
Dude. I was...
Dude.
Playing... Dude.
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 All right, you got a point.
Well, I guess you have a lot more games sitting than I thought.
Yeah, I do. I open. See?
Bam. So do I.
I've learned like you now.
I know.
People are always opening and checking out.
I know. I figure just keep it closed because it may come that you don't even turn out to want to play the game.
Right.
You know, so might as well keep it closed. It'll sell more for, you know, on eBay later.
Yeah, maybe Collector's Island, man.
Something you never know.
Gold Edition.
Anyway.
Hard to find.
Something else. Dynasty Warriors 4 Extreme Legends Shift.
Extreme Legends.
Dynasty Warriors 4. Didn't you play those?
Yeah, I played 4.
Oh, you already played 4?
Yeah.
What the hell? Oh, this is like the remix version or something.
Yeah, yeah. You get use Seiji weapons and shit.
No, who gives a shit?
Well, just like...
I know you like it. Now, this is one of those games where it's just
that's
like,
a game gave me tendonitis.
Oh, all the... Because you're mashing the buttons
so
much and you're
fuck,
just
man.
Killing things left and right. Let's see. Recovered Sega... Okay. I'm down to, like, the important things now.
Okay.
Frag Ops. Holy crap, I gotta take a piss. Here, you talk. I'll be right back. I am pausing it, just go.
Okay, Frag Ops.
In the immortal words of Duel, the audacity rolls on.
Here we go.
I'll be back to this.
Frag Ops. First they came out, and C4 came there, like, freaking 24 hours, and I got it. He's a man, he got it, and he installed it. So I played it. And I'm kind of disappointed, but it's still like kind of a beta version, so I don't know what to say. So I got 3 maps and runs like ass on my TI-4200. Guess time for upgrade. And kind of weird, you know. So controls kind of weird. I couldn't hit shit. I don't know. How about you guys? Fuck, I was a Simpson. I mean, I like the guns, their idea, guns attachments for the guns, for, you know, different parts. But the hardware standards kind of high, so I don't know. I'm kind of disappointed. Unless come out more maps.
Well, you know,
I said that, so it's just still a kind of a better version.
Yeah, in fact, I can't put the IRC challenge.
Still, we're running into lots of bugs, like the hand grenade, trying to throw it, sticking your hand and shit.
Really? I hadn't heard that happen yet. I don't know, but it's cool because you buy two grenades.
Yeah.
One of the biggest things I wanted in these kind of games was two grenades.
I think you can get two grenades in Counter-Strike.
I don't think so.
I think you do, dude.
Maybe you can. I'm not sure. One of the things, I was on the IRC channel for like 8 fucking hours, camping out, waiting for them to release this game. They're supposed to release it at like 6 o'clock p.m. on Halloween. So this was my Halloween night. I spent camping out, ignoring the front door, waiting for this game to come out. That was at 4 p.m. when I got to the IRC channel. It's supposed to be out by 6. I ended up going to sleep at like 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, Pacific Standard Time. Okay, we're the geographical slackers of the world. We didn't manage to see the release before I fell asleep. I passed out, woke up, and the game was out. It was like 175 meg or so download, I think.
Got so many packs.
There was like a 23 meg patch. There was like a couple K patch for your run. Not a patch. It was an optional thing. It was like a batch file that just runs it for you. There's 426 megs total stuff you gotta download. Whatever it was, because I remember telling Hunter, because you gotta get the Digital Extremes pack, the patch for Unreal Tournament 2003, the Epic pack, which is alright, because they use content out of that. So, I mean, you know, I can understand. And most people were playing Unreal 2K3 anyway, so they already had this stuff. I didn't, because I think UT 2K3 sucks, and I was really waiting for Frag Ops. Now, when I was in the IRC channel, I did get to speak to AMF Ben. Really cool guy, I talked to him before. He saw me in the channel, because there was like 300-400 people in the channel all screaming and whining at the same time. He actually was able to take some time, you know, to sit and tell me about it for a little bit, you know, about how the release was going. Basically, what happened was they were having it took a long time to upload and to pack that much shit up. You know, it takes a while to zip up that much stuff. So once, you know, they got it all together and stuff and they uploaded it, and I mean, they had to deal with people harassing them. I mean, it's brutal when there's people, you know, I mean, can you imagine how many people are trying to private message you? You know, when you're the only one on the IRC channel who knows what's going on, you know, you and maybe the two or three other people that are actually there. So, he had a minute to talk to me about it, though. He told me, you know, how far the status was. And I just couldn't stay awake anymore, because the idea was that they uploaded it to multiple servers. So there was a bunch of mirrors.
Oh, yeah.
So that it was just a quick download. Because could you imagine if they released it to one site?
Fuck.
That fucking site would go down in like 10 seconds. You know what I mean? So they did a good job, I think, on that, on the idea of releasing it to multiple mirrors. They just should have done it before. You know, they should have did it before everybody got all excited and knew the deadline was at 6 o'clock. But, I mean, I don't know, I'm pretty impressed with the game. I mean, it's coming along nicely. But as somebody, I think it was in the README, actually, if I remember right, it says this is closer to a 0.5 alpha run rather than a 1.0, or a 1.01 or 1.1, whatever the patch brought it to. But, I mean, you can tell it's gonna be fat. You know what I mean? Like, you can see already that they've got the stuff that you want there, it just doesn't work right. You know what I mean? Like, there's only a few maps.
They got a lot of work to do.
They got a lot of work to do, but they've done, I think, the majority.
They've done a lot, yeah.
You know, I think now they've got it down to where it's some balancing, because the cash does not flow. I was 26-3, kicking ass, and I was dirt poor. The best I could afford was an MP5 most of the time. I mean, it was really weird. It was just, I'm always broke. The buy menu took a little getting used to, but you know what? Stick with it. This isn't Tactical Ops. It's not Counter-Strike. It's not whatever you play. It's not Battlefield. It's a new game. You know, give it a chance. You can tell it's going to be cool. I think I'm going to really enjoy playing it. So it's staying on my system. The graphics are excellent. And like I told you before, that it did run a little shitty on my machine. Now, that was one of my concerns. Remember, we talked about this way before it came out, that one of my concerns was that it would run kind of shitty. Because, you know, UT 2K3 is pretty demanding. But it seems like if you turn everything off, you know, except for, like, dynamic lighting, I think, so your tack light works, It seems like it runs great and looks fantastic. I mean, I get now. I
you got a fat car though. You got
Why average people can kiss my ass? Average people aren't playing this kind of game though. Average people are still playing Counter Strike because their friends told them about it.
I went back to Tactical Ops. I still saw a whole bunch of people right there. I asked them, "How come you guys don't play Frag Ops?" They said, "No, it won't. You know, runs like ass on our machines."
Good.
So, I mean, good. Shit. I have a halfway decent car. It's a TI-4200. Fucking, I get about 30-40 frames per second. I just couldn't handle it.
At what resolutions?
At the 1024x768.
Drop it to 800x600. Check it out. You know, I mean, just
I turned off everything like you said.
See, I turned off everything.
Drives me nuts.
Except for the lighting.
120 and 260 will be perfect.
Yeah, it feels fat. But you know
what? Feels perfect.
I think it's only going to get better, though. I think it's only going to get better. But I had the same problem you had where it felt like I couldn't shoot anybody. I mean, I would walk right up behind people. And I'm not lagging. Because if you hit F6, it shows you know, your ping and all that. Shows you packet loss. No packet loss. I got like a 70 ping. And I'm right behind this guy. Just spraying him down. And I can't hit him. And what happens? He turns around. Kills me in two hits. You know, I've been sniped by guys with pistols all the fucking way across the map.
I love that, though. There's a scope on there.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good idea. I've been sniped people with that hellfire away.
Everything, I think, honest about it, everything the team came up with was a good idea. I really, I heard you when I was taking a whiz, I heard you say about the attachments.
Yeah.
That was fucking ingenious.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Two grenades is gold. Now, the armor, you don't buy armor. And everybody's used to buying armor. So at first when I got on the servers that morning, people were like, who the fuck? Yeah, the buy menu's a little weird, but you know, you get used to it really quick. The melee weapons don't work, you don't have a knife or nothing,
Not yet.
Not yet, but you will. You know, like you have a bayonet though, you know, add on for AK and shit like that.
I tried it on my own team guy. I killed him.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I've
just like a one shot kill, dude.
Awesome. See, I had every server I've been on has been no friendly fire, so. I never tried it. I can never afford it.
I was playing a bottom line match.
That was your own server rules then. But I don't know. It looks to be like it's going to be a fat game. There's another one that everybody's talking about called Red Orchestra, I think. I can't remember. I've never played it. It's another mod for UT2K3, part of the Make Something Unreal contest. And that apparently is the one of the best ones. Apparently, people, from what I heard, Frag Ops and this Red Orchestra or whatever are supposed to be the front runners for this contest. And somebody had said, now I don't follow any of this, so I don't know, but somebody on one of the servers of Frag Ops said that there was already more Frag Ops players than Red Orchestra players, even though the Red Orchestra is a little more complete. So that's a good sign for Frag Ops, you know. And you know what? I saw tons of Tactical Ops players there. I saw names that I haven't seen since I quit playing. You know, all these people
right.
all of a sudden showed up. And I was like blown away. It was cool, but you know, a lot of people bitched about the controls. I mean, the speed.
I know you said Unreal bot working there.
Oh yeah, somebody on the server said the Unreal 2K3 bot works, which is really a pisser.
Yeah,
but,
fucking cheaters are cheating already.
Yeah, now I can't say that I've seen it firsthand, but I can say that I cruised across a server where one guy was 46-1, and people were bitching about cheating, so I just left.
I know you can't vote, you know.
Yeah, there's no voting enabled
that's
yet.
Kind of what
you know. Well, right now though, you know what I mean? Like enabling voting couldn't be that hard to add. You know what I mean? It can't be that bad to add.
No.
As far as maps go, we're gonna start seeing more. I swear to God, I've been trying to download it every day. I fire the game up and I try to download this map off some server, and they never give it to me. There's a Rapid Waters Alpha map. Now, fuck Rapid. I hate Rapid, so that's cool. I want to see a Trooper. I want to see fucking
Blister.
Trooper. Getaway. Blister's decent. I wouldn't mind Dust either. You know, something from Counter-Strike. I mean, they should just put out the fattest maps. And you know that, and the one that everybody plays right now is the one that's all pitch black.
Yeah, and sniper rifles kind of piss me off too. It can't move at all.
That sucks. Fucking sucks.
So you have a set in there with sniper rifle. You can't move.
Yeah.
You can't shoot.
Yeah.
So that kind of, I think that might be a bug, right?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know either.
That sucks.
I don't know either.
That's like best gun you can get.
Yeah, but the problem is you can't move, so you get killed by people with pistols all the time.
Well, I haven't said rocket launcher.
You know? No, I didn't see that yet, so. But they're working on it. I mean, they're adding all this shit
in the video. I mean, we're showing the video. I don't know.
Yeah, well, they have to release something. They had to release something so that they made it for the contest deadline. It didn't have to be the complete game. It doesn't have to be done. It just has to be something that you can publicly download and works. So, that's what they gave us, what they had. But, I don't know, it's shaping up to be a pretty cool game. I think, seriously, that's what I'm looking at right now. Everything else I think is total crap. I mean, this is a game made by a group of people, in their spare time, basically.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
So free, you're not coming to read
Dead Charm. You know, and it's better than anything else I've been playing. So, fuck, you know, I'm happy with what they've done. I'm glad to
check this out, though. You know, for, if you think about a hardware upgrade, get a Radeon 9600. I heard that thing's a go. I mean, that's not much slower than the 9800. That's not much. I mean, price is like less than half. It's about $150.
Yeah.
For a 9600, I mean, probably if I want to upgrade, I would run this one.
I don't know what to say. I haven't done any looking into
it. Since it's on the tech cube, it said lots of good stuff about it.
Huh.
Those guys get free product. You know, they do set up and they have a real lab. They do some serious benchmarking.
Yeah.
I mean, I believe their word.
Well,
$150, you know, that's like lower, medium range.
I don't know, dude. I'll tell you what. I'd go look into some. I'll go looking around at benchmarks on like Tom's Hardware, Hard OCP. I'd go there, Anatech.
That website's kind of.
You can't read it. He's got the Tom's Hardware.
Yeah.
He's got the best fucking layout I've ever seen,
dude.
Oh my! I mean, like he just breaks it the way his benchmarks are. I don't want to start a fight about this. Anyway, on to. Let me talk about Heroes before we get, since I'm doing like the show backwards, it feels like today. Heroes 3. I don't know if you guys ever play, if anybody out there plays, Heroes of Might and Magic. Now we know 3DO went under, they sold it to Ubisoft or whatever they are. But the Heroes of Might and Magic series is a turn-based strategy game. It is hands down the best shit I've ever played. Heroes 2 and 3 have consumed more hours than almost any other games I have ever played in my life. And the other day, I started playing Heroes 3 with Hunter again because we started playing online. Rather than just having him come over or me go over to his place and play like we usually do, we started playing on the internet, and some of the things, I was poking around for maps, and I came across a mod for it called In the Wake of the Gods. This fucking mod is only 32 megs, and you get, like, a ton of new enemies. You get, like, I swear to God, I saw new heroes in there. Your heroes get, like, all kinds of crazy powers. You have full control over your random map generation. You can, like in the game, though, you pick random map. And then, now normally if you wanted to make changes, you'd have to make the random map in the editor, edit out what you don't want, join the game, and then pick the map. The game supports creating a random map in the game.
So you can do whatever you want during a game?
During, in the...
You can like set up a fat, big fat artifact in front of you.
No. That would be like map editing, but no. And you don't want to do that. You want to cheat.
Yeah, I know.
You want to say that there's an item that you and your buddy that play all the time think shouldn't be in the game. The orb of vulnerability. The orb of whatever, inhibition. You know, something like that. Something that's just total fucking bullshit, right? You set up the random map, and then you go to this called the Wogginator. Sean Kennedy will love that. It's WOG, the Wake Up the Gods. And you can tell it, do not allow this item in this game.
Whoa.
You can tell it, give my players extra abilities, and it will allow you to have all heroes to have up to two extra, extra skill slots, you know, where you can only have like six, I think you can have eight. It adds a commander to the game, like, so you have like one fat, awesome dude in your combat with you. So instead of just having your army guys, you have one guy with powers, and he levels as your character, as your hero levels, and you put points on his different stats, which are kind of like, I swear they look like they were ripped out of Heroes 4, because Heroes 4 just sucks anyway. So, you have one, you know, and they added, I mean, just tons of stuff to this game. It blew my mind. New artifacts and shit, your commander can get artifacts, which makes all the difference in the world when you've got one guy in your combat that's slaughtering dudes left and right. And you really gotta watch out for him. I mean, it's really fucking cool. They added new enemies, which are mostly just like little graphic tweaks. You know, they changed like, the palette on them so that the sharpshooters look like they were white and black or they're green and black. So now you have the Arctic sharpshooters and they have red and black. So you have the lava sharpshooters or whatever the hell they were. Blood dragons, the sacred phoenix. I mean, there's so many fucking crazy things. They add a bunch of shit to the overworld too. You know, like new places to go, things to talk to, you know, like that. Like a junk merchant. You can sell your crap. One of the biggest problems I had in Heroes is that I accumulate garbage. Yeah. Your guy gets all these crap artifacts. Well, now you can take them somewhere and somebody will give you money for them, right?
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's cool, right? There's magic mushrooms. These buildings you can go to that give you expert whatever type it is, air, fire, earth, water magic for the week.
Yeah.
You know, just for the week, you're an expert at this kind of magic. It's awesome because it really throws off the combat when you're fighting your buddy and he doesn't know you got that. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? It's really fucking cool. There's a market of time where you go back and you can reverse, you can take away skills that you got so that you can get different skills, which is cool if you get screwed because all the time the game will pick something gay for you. You gotta pick between like, you know, something you don't use, something like diplomacy and right, navigation, right, something you'll never leadership. Use and you have to pick. And you, yeah, you know, well, leadership is awesome. Leadership, well, you know, but depending on the one, what kind of map you're playing, and depending on the strategy,
what kind of hero you use.
Exactly, all that plays into the fact of what you want. I mean, if you guys like playing real-time strategy games, I swear to God, go try Heroes of Might and Magic 3, or turn-based strategy.
That's turn-based.
Do not try Heroes 4. It's like, I know people, and not like one or two, closer to like 5 to 10 people in Romania that love Heroes 3 and can't stand Heroes 4. I mean, worldwide, it seems like Heroes 4 flops. I know so many people
that
they really fucked it up. I mean, they released the game without multiplayer, for one.
Yeah.
You know, I went out, pre-ordered it, got the Elite version,
yeah, and I
kept couldn't even fucking play.
Store for 3 nights.
Yeah, right. Living on ramen out of a Bunsen burner or whatever. No. That game, I mean, it was crap. But Heroes of Magic 3 can be picked up for relatively cheap now. And while I'm on Heroes, if anybody knows where I can buy Heroes of Might and Magic, The Quest of the Dragon Bone Staff for the PlayStation 2, brand new, please let me know. Alright. Now, because I'm doing things like mostly backwards, we skipped the email because I wanted to get, you know, a lot of game talking while we had Ode on the phone. Yeah. Cushion was like the fucking man this week with the hookups. He sent us not only a videotape, which we got after we recorded last week's show, like 10 minutes after I uploaded it, he sent us a videotape with 3 hours of gaming TV shows recorded on it. The problem was is that I don't own a VCR. I got 5 DVD capable devices in this house. Not one VCR. So I gave the tape to Wolf. He took it to his house. He did exit for me. He brought me down a DVD today, so I can watch that the next week. It's got oh crap. What did I do with my? I wrote down exactly what was on it too. Let's see. MTV2 had a show called The Wrap. I guess it was something they only did one of. It was an hour long. And then the Game Show Network has GSN Video Games. That's 2 hours long. It's got some pro gamer stuff in there like that. You know, with some of these people that call themselves pro gamers, and you all know what I think of that, because I think we talked about it on the other show a couple episodes ago. But anyway, that was fucking awesome that you hooked us up with that. I just wish I could have watched it earlier, but, you know, that's cool. It gives me something to watch this week now. And yesterday, or 2 days ago now, he sent in a review of SSX 3. Now before, well, we'll just talk about it as I go, okay, because we brought it up before. I mean, it has been selling like hotcakes down here. I see great reviews everywhere, and then Amps 2 came out, and I saw almost just as good reviews for that, because, like, they'll give SSX 3 like a 9.4, 9.3, and they'll give Amp a 9. I haven't seen shitty scores for either one of these games, but I can't figure out why. Now, let's see, Cushion, he did a really in-depth, I mean, better than we ever kind of do. I don't know why everybody takes us so serious. We just suck. But he got all into it here. So I guess he played Tricky and really liked it on his PS2. So he's talking about the PS2 version of SSX 3 here. As far as graphics, though, keep in mind I bought the PS2 version. I figured with the extra online mode... Now, see, does that mean there's no fucking live for the other one? You know, I wouldn't doubt it, because remember EA screwed us on the NBA 2004?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or, I mean, the hell went up, NASCAR. NASCAR doesn't matter.
NASCAR,
have it,
right? Yeah.
NBA. Yeah, yeah, NASCAR. They screwed us on that. I don't know where that came from. Anyway, let's see. This would be the version that EA went all out on. Well, not really. The theme of the game is snowboarding down a fresh, powdery, snowy mountain. That was okay. It's hard to screw up snow and trees, but everything else looked blocky, especially your character. Maybe I'm spoiled with my Xbox, but in a big game for EA in 2003, at least the rider should be more defined. Now, we tried the demo for SSX 3 like an hour and a half ago, just before we started recording. We got a hold of a demo for SSX 3, and I got to play it on the Xbox, and it's not all blocky. It's not, if anything, like the snow, I could notice a little blockiness in it. But it wasn't anything that really distracted me from the game. Sound, okay, here's the big question. SSX 3's big draw is that they scored big names in techno and dance music for the soundtrack, but the soundtrack sucks. It all sounds like B-sides and shit sampler CDs you get out of a Cheerios box. Okay, you score Fatboy Slim and his... Yeah. Okay, you score Fatboy Slim and his song just says, long-haired freaky people need not apply 50 times? Also, isn't that a Guns N' Roses song, I think? Yeah, it must be some kind of remix again. Also, the DJ is replaced by a mountain news DJ that says nothing cool or informative. Telling me the temperature for a day means nothing when wearing a torn t-shirt doesn't hurt my stats. I think EA realized this towards the end because the music and DJ can be turned off. Everything else sounds fine, though, from the mountain sounds to the boost sound effects. Even the rudder's taunts sound more mature now. Now, we played it. We heard the announcement really quick.
Right.
There was no music.
We have a radio, though.
But there was no music playing, though. There was, like, nothing going on.
See, most of our skateboarding and snowboarding games always have awesome, I mean, huge sectional soundtracks.
I don't know if they're big. Look, Tony Hawk got like 12, 15 songs. 12, 15,
that's it? Amps, the first one got like 100 something.
The second has 300, yeah. The new one.
Second one's gonna have a 300
something. But they're all like indie guys though. They're no big name people.
Well, no, it's pretty good. I mean, when you're in the mood, you don't want to listen to punk.
Yeah, but you don't want to listen to music that sucks. You know, I wonder if they have the setting where you can make your, put your own soundtrack in. You probably can.
I bet you could.
I bet you can. Yeah, so I don't know though. Anyway, let's see what's going on here. Controls. Here's the deciding factor for most players. Now, this is what my bitch was, okay? This is what my complaint was right here. The controls are mostly the same. Hold X when you get near a jump, let go of the jump, and start pounding the shoulder buttons. The best improvement in SSX3 is that 9 times out of 10, if you're performing a flipping trick, your racer will automatically straighten themselves out before they hit the ground. Cool. This was a big problem for me in Tricky. The only real change is that pounding other players is now done with the shoulder buttons, not the right analog stick. Not a big deal, but why put them with the trick buttons? Now, my complaint is that, like, I'm retarded. I cannot play this fucking game, because I had SSX Tricky for the Xbox, right? Right when I first got it, it was like the first game I had. And I could not get used to the controls, because it's my nature to hold down the jump button.
You're hell far away.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know why I get that is from Tony Hawk. Tony Hawk trained me that you can turn just as fine ducking as you can standing up.
Oh, that's what I do in AMP.
In AMP, you can do it too. So I'm really fucking used to it. And in this crap, you've got to steer, and then you gotta hopefully see the jump coming way ahead of time, so that you know that you got to not be pushing any button, so you can hit that jump button when the time comes. Now, I like being able to hold it down, and then when I hit the jump, release it. Because it's quicker to release the button than it is to push the button and release the button, right? It's like half that time.
Seems like hold longer, you can jump higher.
Well, for other games, I don't know if it was like that on SSX, but it doesn't seem like it matters because you can't steer.
Yeah, right, just right.
I mean, you'd have to line
maybe
up.
Just from, all you need to tap it.
Yeah, yeah, but you'd have to, it's just, but I'm so not used to it that it hinders my performance in the game. Now, and on top of that, the trick buttons aren't that easy. Now, I noticed in landing the tricks. In Tricky, I had a real hard time landing the tricks. I mean, the guys would fucking bail 9 times out of 10, and the game became like a racing game for me, where I didn't care about points, because no matter what, I suck. Tony Hawk is different. I can sit down and play that, and it's smooth. It flows. It feels right. I have yet to play a snowboarding game that just flows like that. You know, it feels smooth. Sure, it might not be so realistic, but you know what? It's more fun when it just seems like you can land anything. It seems like you can just grind on anything. You know, it just makes it flow better, and it makes for a better, more fun game.
I got a retarded idea for landing.
What?
You should have a noob mode.
A noob?
Yeah.
Yeah, you should. That's fun.
That'll give you a parachute pack.
Yeah.
If you're very landing.
Not a bad idea. I mean,
for your parachute, safe landing.
It would make it better for noobs like me who can't fucking manage the controls in this game, which you
probably
can't change. You know, you can't change. Yeah, it would be. The big problem with SSX3 is the arcade feel is almost gone. The game consists of 3 peaks or areas consisting of about 8 chunks of mountainside. You must place at least third, in 2 races to unlock the 3rd race versus your tough-as-nails rival. Beat him in the final race is unlocked. Beat this to unlock the next peak. The main reason I say the arcade feel is gone is because the whole peak feels like a hub world. Instead of picking your character and equipping new costumes or boards, you must first ski down to the lodge where you can do all this. Oh yeah, do you remember that? Where it seemed like before we actually did anything, we had to scoot around for a little bit to get there. Do you remember that? Remember we landed and it's like nothing happened, we just had to get to that point? Anyway, it was like an hour and a half ago. You need to take some Vico Biloba or something.
I thought we had an avalanche or something.
Yeah, and it chases down to that little thing.
And then crashed!
Yeah, I want to get to that when we're done here, but... Okay, let's see. I got... I need a better system for reading these things, like marking off my section, because I always stop and talk and I get lost where I was reading. I'm sorry I'm butchering your review, because it's awesome when it's read smooth, when I read it to myself originally. Be sure to collect all the icons in the way there, gotta hit 100% in the mountain stats, which leads me to player extras. Just like in Tricky, your rider can improve their stats and update their appearance. The only problem is you don't earn this stuff by beating races or by beating training modes, it's all bought with cash. Everything you win earns you cash. Save up the cash to buy stuff. Because, the problem is stuff isn't worth buying. The costumes aren't anything special, and some are just plain stupid. Every girl can buy a tiara, and one can buy a black eye.
What the fuck is that?
That's the one who didn't do the dishes. That's what that one. Even the boards you can buy aren't upgrades. They just have different sponsors on them. The only stuff worth buying upgrades to are your player's stats, so they don't get their asses launched regularly. There's also hidden characters to buy, but they aren't worth it either. All are skins of other players, tricky guys who didn't make the cut. So you still do all your same tricks and animations. That's fucking retarded. Oh man, who the fuck is this?
Telescope.
Oh crap.
Let's put him on the speaker.
It's my mom. Oh. Hello? This is my car, can't make it up that friggin' mountain with a bunch of snow. Yeah. Okay.
Cool.
That's safe for mom. Be very, very quiet.
That works. Okay, yeah, I'll stop that. Alright, go ahead. Alright, where was I? Let's see. Before our rude phone interruption night. The characters. Okay, so you can do the same tricks and animations. Oh, and the announcers and racers don't identify this new player, meaning no personalized taunts or DJ shoutouts. That is fucking cheap. That is weak. If they have a whole, like, new guys with the old guys' sayings and stuff, and it's all the same crap, that is lame. You can also get new characters if you buy all the crap you can buy, but these guys suck too. According to the facts online, you can get guys like a cow, a snowman, and even Bigfoot. Yeah, like, I want to bust my ass in a game playing
you wanna ride
as a skiing cow, that's what he says. Overall, if you like SSX Tricky, you'll like this game, but feel disappointed. The arcade feel and flashy look of Tricky is replaced with a Tony Hawk-like world. But see, it's not replaced with the Tony Hawk-like controls and smoothness, which is what I'm looking for in a snowboarding game. Replaced by a Tony Hawk-like world where challenges and races must be beat to earn cash and get 100%. Like I said on IRC, I'd give it a 7.5 out of 10. Then he goes on to say that there was a deal that if you buy the game and the CD soundtrack together, you get $10 off. The CD, he said was $12, and the song sucked in the game, so he didn't even open his CD. Something to return to Best Buy later. But, you know, yeah, he was telling me on IRC about it. Yeah, it was awesome that he sent that in.
Thanks, George.
You know, that kicks ass, but I don't think I can buy this game. I can't play it. Now, we tried to play the demo, and the very first thing that happened, what happened?
Crash.
It fucking crashed my Xbox. Anyway, yeah, this shit crashed my fucking Xbox right off the bat. What? Somehow I got into a part of the track. They dropped out of this little helicopter, and I landed. And instead of going to the right, or straight, apparently like they wanted me to, I ended up going off to the left. And all of a sudden, I fell through the bottom of the level, it looked like. I was tumbling around. My guy was, like, not getting up, and she was just kind of sliding on the ground. Or it was the chick we picked the first time, huh? Yeah.
You weren't getting up?
And she wouldn't get it. She couldn't get it up. And then all of a sudden, I pop out into this lower part of the level where I'm, like, in this cave. And bam, it just completely locks up on us. I had to reset my Xbox and try it again. The second time, I didn't go to the left. I went off to the right like I wanted me to. And got into that little weird pipe they wanted me to go into and had the avalanche behind me. It was kind of a weak effect. The avalanche wasn't that great anyway. I mean, it wasn't anything special about it. It didn't, what I like in AMP is how real it looks. When you're 700 miles up in the sky, you know, you just jump up this giant cliff and you're flying down and the camera catches a glimpse of, you know, what's off in front of you. You know, you can see the trees and like a lake and some mountains. You know, I mean, it looks so awesome out there. It really gives me the feel, well, for me, of home, because that's, you know, we live in an area that looks just like that. That's where people go to snowboard and ski. I used to. Now I live down here in shithole Reno. But, I can never get used to the controls in that. So, it's not the kind of game that I can just sit down and play to bust out a few tricks and have a good couple races. You know, like I can with Tony Hawk. When I need to just sit there and just play something quick like that, I can sit down, play Tony Hawk, and it just seems like the controls feel natural to me. Just they work. I always had this weird problem with SSX; the controls didn't feel right. So it makes it completely unplayable for me. I hate to say it, but it's just unplayable.
I'll put it this way though: if you never played Tony Hawk before, if you start first game you ever play FFX, I bet you would love the controls.
SSX, FFX. Yeah, I maybe you will. I don't think you'll love the control though. I don't think you'll love it. I think it's still kind of fucked up because people have problems with it still, other than me. Then we tried to play AMPS. You played it at the store. We didn't get a hand on a demo, so we didn't get to sit down and really give it a nice, you know, college try or anything.
It's kind of weird, though. I play the grab key they put on the right thumbstick.
Yeah, that's weird.
That's weird. I mean, trying to grab it before was, I mean, I think it was a yellow one. No, it's not. It's a,
it was a button.
So it was a button,
it
right?
It was a button.
I would grab it real easy, right?
Yeah. And
this one, hell weird. I have to push down and shit.
On top of that, you don't have configurable buttons again. You know what I'm saying?
I never tried that.
You know, well, we didn't look, but I'm sure I would have heard about it because people were bitching about the controls and nowhere did they say.
Oh, really?
You know, on a bunch of forums, they were bitching about the controls and nowhere did it say that you can change the controls. So I just don't understand. Why would you make a game that you want to sell to people that you cannot sell to people because your controls suck? Why would you do that? Oh, well, we want to make this cool game, but only if you play it with these controls. That's just, it's a week. It's keeping me from playing a lot of good games, you know? So, I don't know. Something to think about. Change, give us the option to change our controls. And that's all I ask for is customizable controls. It's not that much, you know? That's probably my number one biggest complaint. You know? It really is. I mean, I play games with razor thin to no storyline and have a fun time. Doesn't matter.
I feel you, brother. I feel you.
You feel me on this, you know? Just as long as the controls feel like a natural extension of my hands. You know, it's like the controls should not interfere with the, your
yeah,
interaction.
It's like Street Fighter controls. You don't have to look, dude.
Well, that was from years of training, I think.
Years?
I mean, yeah, years of training. I mean, we played the holy hell out of Street Fighters. But I mean, like when you sit down and play any first-person shooter, the controls feel pretty natural. And if they don't, guess what? You can change them. And I do have my own set of controls that I set up for every single first-person shooter a certain way. They're different than the defaults, but I set them up so they feel like a natural... I mean, they do not
right.
interfere with me in the game.
Right.
You know?
Whatever is comfortable for you, you know.
Yeah. Which allows
it's
me...
It's not for our testers, for other companies.
Yeah.
Probably. That's the one that we just set up.
Maybe. But it allows me to play a huge range of first-person shooters. Most of them are garbage, but I can at least find out. I can play them, you know. I mean, it sucks that, you know, there's this barrier that should be so easy. And I can't wait till some of these games get emulated. When we got a PlayStation 2 emulator, and an Xbox emulator, and a GameCube emulator...
I sell my system.
Well, I'll probably keep mine, but here's the thing. I'll be able to hook up the controller to the computer, right? And I'll be able to set the controls however the fuck I want.
That's right.
And it's going to be great. Because I've run into a few Super Nintendo games where the controls suck and you can't change them, but I can because I have the emulator. It's fantastic.
Yeah. What's that game play today? It looks pretty fun. It's a third-person shooter.
Oh, yeah. We played a whole bunch of weird games today. But
the
cool
one, yeah.
We played Armed and Dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
That was a surprise.
That one looks hell fun.
The music was awesome.
Yeah.
The shit the guy said was funny. You know what I mean? Like,
his Irish accent.
I mean, it was really cool. It's called Armed and Dangerous. There was the demo for it on the 25th Xbox Game Disc with the official Xbox Magazine. That game was something else. It was a lot of fun.
That was a...
It was third person.
Singing too. No,
third person. Yeah, he's singing songs and shit. It's like third person shooter style. You know, like you're behind your guy.
Based on a true story.
Yeah. I can't figure that out either, but it says in the beginning it's based on a true story. But you've got guys with you too. You've got like two dudes behind you. It kind of reminded me of Brute Force, but like more fun. It was weird. You had some crazy fucking weapons. You had like homing missiles and stuff, and it was really cool. You had like barrels that could explode and they'd fly up into the air and people be just dying all over. And I mean, but it wasn't over the top. It wasn't like just insane, like Serious Sam or something. It was just, I think, at least fun.
It's more looks hell fun.
Yeah, it was. It was really.
There were jokes in there.
It was cool.
Okay.
Yeah. And at the end of the demo, you get to, well, not the end. At the end of the first person demo. Yeah, the assault one, because there's assault and defend. I mean, the assault one. You're with your dudes trying to rescue, like, the third member or the fourth member of your team.
Yeah, the guy was frozen.
And he's all frozen, you know, he's, like, laying on the ground. And one of your teammates is like, oh, I know what to do with him to warm him. This is an old trick I learned. And there's, like, this giant, what looks like a triceratops.
I think it's a rhino.
Yeah, I guess it did, huh? I don't really know what it looked like. But yeah, something like that, you know, some big animal.
Giant one.
And one of the guys starts talking, but the camera shows the other guy. The camera shows the guy with your little dude, the little guy on your team. He's a little tiny guy. The camera shows him, take him over to this creature, while you hear the other member, one of the other members of your party talking. He's like, oh yeah, I remember that trick where you cut open their stomachs because their bodies are still warm. But the camera's showing the other guy, and he lifts up the guy's tail and he shoves him up his thing's butt and takes off running with your teammate.
You see the foot hanging out.
Yeah, it was hilarious just because you saw it coming and like, oh my god, I don't know. It was pretty funny shit though.
But the second one's more like a
beachhead.
Shooting.
Yeah, you're just sitting in the
middle. And I see waves of people coming in.
Yeah,
waves
it,
of
it was
it's like Lord of Rings, you know, those
thousands,
orcs coming
like
in.
Thousands
it's
of people.
Formation outside.
Yeah, way out there. Way out. Way in the
they
distance.
They shoot missiles at them.
They go with them. Yeah, yeah. You get fucking weird stuff. You get like some kind of explosive bombs and shit. And then
you got ladders up. Come up your...
They're trying to invade your castle. And you know, they run up with ladders and they throw it up against the wall and climb over. So you can't let 50 guys get in the bay. So you're sitting up there in some kind of a weird...
Machine gun
bubble thing.
Yeah.
And you're just mowing people down. And then
once
you got, like,
give you
a
napalm.
Things. Yeah, it's fucking cool though. I mean, like, that part...
Oh, people fly, burn...
The mission part, like the assault, really cool. A bunch of little, like, secret areas and stuff that you can get to, like, by blowing open buildings and stuff. There's power-ups and extra guns and ammo and stuff in there.
It's so fun, dude.
It was cool. It was a lot of fun. I don't know if it's something I could really sit down and play a lot, though. But it was really cool. And that pretty much wraps up for all of our games. I had a couple of movies, well, actually a movie that I saw because I haven't been watching anything, but one of the movies that I want everybody to take a look at is Bubba Hotep. Jenner told me about this one. I had no idea about it. Bubba Hotep. BubbaHotep.com. It's got Bruce Campbell in it, you know, from Army of Darkness and Evil Dead and all that. Ash, you know. It's got him in it. It looks pretty good. It looks like something that might be a good movie. Go check out the website. They've got a trailer up for it. And I got to see Bruce Almighty, which I can't stand that guy. What's his name?
Jim Carrey?
He's a fucking moron. Most of the time, I don't like his comedy at all. And this one was all right because it kept his stupid style of comedy to a minimum. You know, it was like he had nothing to say, or at least not too much to say.
It was Pringado, huh?
Yeah, but as far as the writing of the movie goes, it was all right for me because it wasn't all his retarded comedy. It was like somebody else wrote it for him, you know, and said, okay, you're going to do 99% of what I say, and you can do whatever, you know, some of your own stupid-ass little comedy that's annoying anyway, you know. Like The Mask, or Liar Liar, or Cable
Dumber,
Guy.
Dumber and Dumber is pretty good.
Fucking stupid, man.
Dude, that was fucking funny,
fucking
dude.
Fucking retarded. I don't know. But Bruce Almighty is this guy who basically feels like he's getting shit on by God all the time. Like, it's just one bad thing after another. He works as a news reporter or something, and he covers some shitty news. He doesn't get the good job he wants. He's got a great girlfriend, but he's always wrapped up in himself, and she obviously cares about him, but he's too concerned about how much his life sucks to care about anything or anybody else. Well, he keeps complaining about, you know, that God is responsible for all this stuff bad happening to him. And the movie is just basically that God gives him his powers and says, you think you can do better? Have at it. And it's a good idea for a movie. God is Morgan Freeman. So, I mean, you know, who cooler to have? I mean, maybe Samuel L. Jackson, maybe, but... I mean, I don't know. Morgan Freeman plays a good God. Better than what's her name? What's that chick? Alanis Morissette. Better than her. At least he talks. Wears a slick suit, too. That's pretty good.
Oh, right.
He's not opposed to getting his hands dirty. He's mopping up the floor, too. In one scene in the movie, he's all right. But he's funny, too. Anyway, he gives him his powers, and he gets, like, a week or two. The movie plays on where he gets his powers. And it's interesting to see what he does with God's powers because, you know, I think that... I think if you had those powers, I think it'd go the same way. You kind of lose... You say, oh, I could cure world hunger and war and all this. You think that, but then you would realize that, oh, I got things in my life I gotta fix. This fucking sucks in my life. This doesn't go the right way. I gotta get rid of this. I gotta fix that. And it's interesting to see how his character, you know, does this and fixes his own life and loses sight of all the things that he said that he should have done, you know, and all that stuff. And then, of course, there's the whole... love part of the story. It's Jennifer Aniston plays his girlfriend, you know, and yeah, it was, I don't know, it was a pretty good movie. It wasn't mind-blowing. It's a rental, though. Not a purchase, I don't think. I think it's a $3 or $4 rental of Blockbuster. It's not really a great movie, but it's probably, in my opinion, Jim Carrey's best work, I think. You know, that doesn't say much because I hate him, so... yeah. Did you watch it yet?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll watch it. You can watch it today or tomorrow,
okay.
Whatever. Anyway, did you watch anything else, or are we done here? I mean, all I've been watching is that crap and Joan of Arcadia, the single best show on TV today. I swear to God.
No, I didn't watch anything.
You didn't watch
shit? Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football. I watch that. Go to work, watch that, come home. That's all I do. Go to work.
I need to start watching some more movies or something. Because I got a bunch of movies here I got to watch, too. So, Maybe I'll actually do something.
And a Matrix coming out tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Matrix Revolutions comes out tomorrow, a movie I won't be going to see in the theater, I don't think, unless I hear the most absolutely mind-blowing shit.
Since the last one, so.
So I don't care. It doesn't mean I have to go see it. Just like Dot Heck.
All right.
You know?
That's you. So you're, now you don't like really like the first two?
No, the first one was a great movie. The second one, I fell asleep through the first time I saw it. I fell asleep for 3 hours. I woke up and was like, holy crap, that movie sucks. Woke up and I had to go to the theater where it was all cold and freezing.
Why'd you get slammed by people next week? Send you emails.
I'm sure.
You said Matrix sucks.
I don't know. I was pretty let down, but we'll see what happens in the third one. Until then, I guess we're done.
Peace out. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's all free.